You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Oh, good morning. That was a mess of an intro, wasn't it? That was terribly awful. We got the audio chat live stream. We've got the choppiness from the audio. I don't know what's going on. We are streaming live on YouTube, DLive, Periscope, and that might be part of the problem, that there's just too much going on for this computer to handle. But we are in the audio chat live stream. It doesn't really matter all the bells and whistles. We just care here about the content. And it is,
Hi everyone, you are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com. It is Saturday, May the 16th. I am Garris from Geneva, Switzerland, and I am, as usual, with a bunch of Australians. So let's start with what I am seeing on my screen. We got Exoteric.
Good evening, bonjour. Comment allez-vous?
Bonjour. Très, très bien. We also got Farce Value. Since Ab has some technical issue, it seems. So let's go to Farce Value. Hi.
Very good. Oh, there he is.
He's muted.
He's muted. So Golden
Cat is not muted. He's unmuted.
Farce Value. Yeah, good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello. Golden Skidmark is also with us.
Hello.
And last but not least, Rolo is with us. Hi, Rolo.
G'day, Ben. How was your birthday week? Have fun?
Quite boozy, I must say. But
lots of pussy. Did you say lots of pussy? Did you get lots of pussy?
That too, but lots of alcohol, and it was not the best for my mental health, let's say. But I am not back to still functioning mode, so it's good. Everything is fine. And I got something for you today. Just this week, my attention was brought to an article on some mainstream news in France, mainstream media, that was saying that there was some paper on the Ministry of Education website that was mentioning how to handle kids and what they might say about COVID while they come back to school. Because apparently in France they're starting to get children back to school. And in the article it is mentioned that in the paper in the Ministry of Education, it is said that some child can say some unacceptable speech. And that is to be addressed with the class and everything. So that article was quite interesting. So this morning, I woke up and I downloaded the PDF of said note that the minister put out. And believe me, there is absolutely no mention of any troubled speech, unacceptable words, or anything like that. For some reason, the circular has been expunged during the past 3 days or so. Can you imagine that? And it was the case, I think, a month ago with the statistics that were changed and everything. So I thought that it was interesting that they are changing it in front of our eyes. We cannot believe anything on the internet anymore. Not that I believe much of it, but at this point I'm starting to get really, really suspicious about anything on the internet.
Well, you can believe fakeologist.com, but from a government point of view, anything can be changed quickly. I'll give you that.
But changing the Wayback Machine.
Fakeologist.com.
No, we won't change. Because we'll pick up on that. But I know for a fact they are changing everything. Like the Wayback Machine has been altered. I mean, I thought that was impregnable, but obviously not. So you can change anything.
I don't even know what's on the Wayback Machine. It's not something I go to that often.
Well, one of the guys I listen to, ConspiracyOz.com, and he's very good. He's not the best, but he does some really good, solid research. And he went back and checked, and he's been screenshotting stuff over the years. He's had a podcast for 10 years, and he said he's checked back on things that he looked at before, and they've been changed on the Wayback Machine. judging by his own screenshots. Of
so what is the Wayback Machine? Is the Wayback Machine some sort of app where you can...
Old sites that have been deleted.
It's a website, but who owns it? And why would they change it? And why would it be even worth anyone's time? Honestly, it's a pretty... I don't know who runs the site. It's got a pretty limited use. They don't take a picture of every site every day, so it's super limited. And if it's a dynamic site like Ficologist.com, which changes the main blog every single day, there's no way he's capturing that main site every day. It's too much resource. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be possible physically.
Hey, well, can I do a congratulations to you?
All right. Are you going to sing it?
Yep. I want to congratulate you on both the interview with Brian Stavely and Peter from Brittany in France. Two great interviews, mate. Well done.
Thank you very much.
One
of them was on the fly. When I was doing the interview with Sharp Stuff or Peter from Cruise Farm, I was driving and there was this humming noise and I could not figure out where this hum was coming from. Of course, you can imagine I'm driving, there's vehicles around me, I'm listening to audio. It could be his audio in France, and it just kept getting loud. I couldn't figure it out, and it finally... figured it. It was distracting me the whole time because I thought my car was ready to blow up or something because I just couldn't figure it out. And then my point is though, when I was driving, it's a little distracting. I can't give my full attention. I really wanted to, but he had a limited time frame, and when you're 6 hours time difference, you want to get a guest on, you have to do it when he is available. So that was the only time I could do it. But yeah, thank you very much. Very smart guy.
Brian. Go, Ben.
Yes, fantastic guy. I did not listen to the Brian Stavely one, but the Sharp Stuff one was incredible. I could listen to hours and hours of this guy.
How switched on was he? Like, and he's got an Australian, because he came over, in 1963 for a couple of years and then came back for 15 years. So he's got the Australian connection there. Yeah.
And he was from, he stayed around Perth. I thought that was a little...
Yeah, you mentioned Golden Skidmark on the interview, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to give my buddy... Yeah. Yeah, like I figured not too many people go towards the Perth side.
Yeah, dude, stay away, you know.
Like Perth may as well...
We don't want anyone. We've got enough people here.
Perth may as well be in China. It's like 9 hours flight from here or something or other.
9 hours flight? No.
Yeah. No, it's 3 hours.
Three or four hours.
Doesn't it used to take a lot longer, though, back in the day when they had smaller planes or something? I thought it was a lot further than
How that. Far of a drive is it?
Three days.
Three days, I think, if you non-stop.
3 days, yeah.
Across the Nullarbor Plain. You go across the Nullarbor Plain. You've ridden a chopper over, haven't you?
Chopper, mate, a 250.
Sorry,
250, mate. Yeah, full on. CB250, mate. It was awesome.
Seems to be really shrill tonight.
Golden's audio is terrible tonight again.
Oh, is it really? Oh, shit.
No, it's okay now. It's all over the place.
I don't know what's going on.
Well, we're on Discord as well. It's got to be with everyone teleconferencing around the world. Everyone is supposed to be on Zoom, but... I never hear about Skype, by the way, which I'm happy about because that's Bill Gates' program now. But Discord must be getting bombed too with different millions of people.
There's a new Call of Duty game out as well, so that drove an insane amount of new people to all those audio set service.
I'm guessing they're having issues, but as long as we're streaming okay, it should be fine. But thanks, Rolo, and
no worries. If you can get me a hold of Peter's, he's writing some Arthur Conan Doyle books, Sherlock Holmes books, updated with present day stuff. I wouldn't mind having a go. I do like Sherlock Holmes. So,
I'm sure he'd be happy to donate. He does it all for free. He says he writes them a lot of the times for Simon. So. Good on him. Well, did anything happen in the world today? Is there anything happening at all?
Yes.
Should we talk about 9/11? Should we talk about Sandy Hoax? Is there anything else happening in
the
world?
Before we get to COVID, Well, one of Australia's biggest radio DJs retired this week. What tell us about that, Rick?
Well, I'm saying he was told to retire because he has been constantly on about getting the lockdown to shut down because it's destroying the economy. And he has a really big influence on people, as we know. He's the biggest broadcaster in the country, and he's number one for 30-something years straight. He doesn't lose his ratings.
Jones?
Alan Jones.
Yeah, Alan Jones.
Yeah. Now, so all of a sudden he's said... Oh,
not Alex Jones?
Well, I've already brought up. They based Alex Jones on him, his whole persona and everything. The screaming,
who was
screeching. Alan Jones, for sure.
He was first. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, way before.
What year did he start yelling into the microphone?
Early 80s.
So it was about 1993. Waco, after Waco.
Well, that's when Alex Jones started. Alex Jones birthed.
Rollo. Oh, Rollo. You meant Alan. Oh, Alan was 70s
or 80s. In the 70s or 80s. Yeah.
How old is he
now?
Yeah,
I remember him.
It's
73, 74. Yeah.
Yeah. And,
okay.
Tell Rick, tell them
about the sycophantic show you listen to on TGB.
Well, he had people ring him up, including John Laws. Rang up and blew smoke up his bum for about 10 minutes.
Okay.
John Laws said he goes...
They're all on the same team. Yeah, they all...
No.
It's a small club.
Laws and Jones were bitter rivals for the last 30 years at least.
Oh, come on. That's all contrived
but
anyway.
It's like the Labor Party and the Liberal Party.
Exactly.
Yeah, body. Yeah,
they need each other.
You think you've got choice.
I would be a lot more popular.
James was on 2GB. James was on 2GB, and it overlapped Lawrence's show on 2UE at the time. Yeah, because
I think it's suspicious that he's retiring because he has been the most vocal.
Rick is the most suspicious person I've ever met.
I am. Well,
Listen, the main reason these major media guys are getting phased out is they cost too much money, and media is not making money. They don't make money anymore. So they can't afford these high... Listen, they even got rid of the guy that did the traffic in Toronto. He's doing it for 30 years.
Yeah, they got a drone to do it for him, probably.
No, they have somebody just some cheap kid doing it now because if you work for 30 years somewhere and you get a raise every year, you're probably making quite a bit more than you did to start. And so it's cheap if it's not a highly skilled job like broadcasting, which it's not, reading the traffic, for instance, then you're going to replace the guys. And that's typical for all of media.
The thing is, though,
I don't think anyone has a right to have a job for 40 years. Okay,
but
it's not that big of a deal anymore.
Just ask Anthony Fauci.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's a different story, isn't he? He should not be there either, but obviously he's the best deceiver in that position because maybe not everyone wants to be a deceiver as well. But in terms of the media, you have to admit that the media has obviously changed dramatically in 40 years. I don't think anyone consumes media the way they did even 20 years ago. So for these dinosaurs who are making big bucks, there's no way he has the draw he did anymore. Come on.
No, that's true. But what I'm saying is he's been anti-global warming, anti-COVID-19 lockdown, and he's got a huge influence. So he's going against the narrative completely. He's in the number one spot still. He's making that station millions of dollars, yet they've told him,
like I just said, are these stations making the same money anymore? I don't think they are, Rick.
I really don't. But you brought it up that he's making
the millions of dollars. I don't think that's true anymore. I really don't.
It's the sponsors that he gets sponsorship by his advertisers, right? So it's not the station that pays him. He gets the money privately by that. But anyway, he's the one that said, I've decided to retire. But I don't believe he would have. I think he's been so anti-COVID-19.
Yeah,
he's been just told, get off the air.
And anti-global warming.
Big time. He brought in, and Rollo met him, Lord Christopher Monckton came over with Jones backing him and did a huge big...
Well, let's ask Golden Skidmark. Have you ever heard of him?
Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah, well, Golden Skidmark, someone's answering for you. Have you ever heard of this guy? Is it that big of a deal to you? Let's get Golden Skidmark.
He's probably fixing his mic. Here we go. For the paper. Here it is. Wednesday, May the 13th, 2020. James' $4 million farewell bill. He was loved by many. He was loved by many, loathed by some, feared by politicians across the land. After 35 years behind the microphone, most of that time spent at the peak of the nation's broadcasting mountain, radio legend Alan James yesterday announced his retirement due to ailing health, warning from his doctors that by the age of 79, he should either stop or drop. Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. There you go. Why would you just stop? What is he supposed to do? Just sit in a chair and stare out the window?
He loves it, though. He's got such a big ego.
Take a lot of physical energy to work a microphone.
Ab, do you want to hear something funny?
I think Golden Skidmark's trying to get through. All I hear is...
Oh, okay, sure.
Sorry about that. I'm just trying to fix this audio. But
is Alan better? Jones that big of a deal to you, Golden Skidmark?
I don't know. I thought he was a bit camp. Not my sort of cup of tea at all.
He's extremely camp.
Yeah.
He's definitely camp.
That's what I was going to ask you.
He's a gay Alex Jones, you know. Like. I don't know how he got there, to be honest. He just, you know. Is he gay?
Just opinionated.
Does he flag homosexuals off? Does he sort of?
No. He covers, but he sticks up for the anti-gay. Like he was against gay marriage, big time.
Oh, there you go. Is he gay?
I figured that the government will have to. No, but I think that the government always the power, I would say, always needs someone to be against something, you know. Just for the sake of it.
The dialectic is so important for publicity. You know it.
Yes.
You know it.
Mm. Yeah, he's a dialectic man for sure, and he caused a lot. He made or break prime ministers, though, in the day.
Yeah, well, there you go. Are we done with the Australia? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. No, come on. Let's play something funny. When Chopper Reed rang in the midday show, and you said, Alan, you shouldn't let people in glass houses, shouldn't throw stones.
So that will be on YouTube, that will be Alan Jones.
So funny.
Yes, I'm on it.
Is that, that funny?
We will
you
see
bet.
About that.
I watched it live, Ab. It was
I know. Is that going to be funny to our international listeners?
What do you think? What do you think,
Rick? Yeah, if they know Chopper Reed, the famous gangster here, they'll think this is funny.
So Chopper Reed wasn't someone to be messed with.
The audience will decide.
Play the interview.
Probably should okay. Just, like, be talking in
the clip that I found is 5 minutes long, so let's take 5 minutes to listen to it.
Shit.
That's long.
That's long, man. Right. It's not funny. Like,
if it's not funny, we're cutting it.
Yes.
It's a big risk.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Ben.
It's definitely a risk, but let's take
play
it.
Play the last half of it. Just play the last half. Don't play the full thing. Play the last half.
Okay. I will try that. So I will have to start the clip first and then find the way to skip to that specific spot.
Okay.
Pretty loud.
Now, this is what I think is one of the funniest things I've ever seen on TV. But somehow, it's never made it to TV blooper-type shows, especially the Nine Network show 20 to 1. And unfortunately, the following may lose quite a bit in translation, as you really have to know those involved, and probably would have had to see it live to fully appreciate the sweet irony.
He's killing the beat before it starts.
Mark Chopper Reed, a convicted murderer and gangster who achieved celebrity status in the late 90s as an author, amongst other things. His notoriety, which included getting his ears cut off and stating that he never killed anybody that didn't deserve it, was the basis of the movie Chopper, which starred Eric Banner. Alan Jones, a sanctimonious, self-righteous commentator whose radio talkback show was once described by a former Prime Minister of Australia as middle-of-the-road fascism. Kerry-Ann Kennelly, even though 90% Botox, Kerry Ann.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Paul. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
G'day, Paul.
Television that, even though it's gone through several changes in time slots and format, still manages to maintain a constant standard of trivial mediocrity. In 1998, there was a so-called public uproar when Chopper Reid appeared drunk on the Elle McPhee show on the ABC. According to the tabloid press, apparently the Australian public was incensed that taxpayers' money was used to fund his appearance on the show.
Is that right, Chop? Bit of a mess? When you're through?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Well, that's
back then, Kerry Ann was bravely attempting to host the flailing midday show, even though she was suffering from severe self-infatuation, a symptom of which is being self-delusional to the point of believing people actually took her seriously.
We've decided not to go ahead with the interview with Chopper Reid live on this program. I guess it's what you call a value judgment, but we took the high moral ground. There was a lot of heated debate about it. We might be wrong, but the question remains, I think. The question to be asked is, should a convicted killer and torturer be given publicity or not? To discuss the issue, we welcome broadcaster Alan Jones.
Although he was a little pissed off the studio wasn't big enough to accommodate his high horse, Alan Jones still set about telling the Australian public why we should be incensed and outraged.
Well, apparently it's the guy commentating on this specific one, so it is not really of any interest to us.
That was not good.
Not at all.
You missed the best bit.
What did we miss?
The best bit.
You can piss off.
That was a great interview. Rollo's right there.
Okay, but did we miss something? Because we're not...
Yeah, well, basically, what happened...
I want to hear the interview. We want, like, the actual, the bit that you're talking about.
Keep it going, Ben.
Right, give me his sense.
Yes, it's getting quite... It's quite
who
difficult to find something that is not commentating, commentated or something like that.
Oh, come on, keep it going, Ben.
I don't interrupt. May I finish?
But he brought up a specific point.
Could I finish?
Yeah, but of course.
I'm saying...
Boy, everybody's so quiet. Amazing.
Oh, we lost it.
I get it. It's a 30-second clip.
Good Lord.
Let me catch
it. It's 5 minutes, but it's going on 15.
It's going on an hour. Rollo has managed to bring the show to a screeching halt.
Okay, listen to it.
If we turn the society to a situation where people please themselves about how they deal with those whom they don't like, then who is to be the next victim?
Yeah, well, people who throw stones better make sure they don't live in glass houses, Alan.
Well, we're not talking about anyone living in glass houses, Chopper.
Yeah, well, I never got arrested in a public toilet in London. Yeah.
Oh, Chopper, I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not pulling the plug on this. I actually have no desire to listen to anything else that you have to say. Thank you very much for calling. That's as polite as I can possibly be.
What I gather is that did he mention that the guy interviewing him was arrested in some public toilets in London?
Yes, that's it. Yeah. You got it.
That's classic. What can the guy say after that? They have to cut it short, of course.
They say cut it immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
And he's right too. Hey,
telling
the truth. Chopper was right. Chopper was right on point there.
Alan Jones was the biggest broadcaster in Australia.
All right, can we get back to COVID, because I don't care about Alan Jones anymore. And I'm going to sit. I know.
This is the equivalent to dead air.
I know it's the fart podcast, but we have other people here.
Who?
We have Farce Value, who is not in Australia. We have Benoit, who's not in Australia. We have me, who's not in Australia. That's a little too local, and that wasn't funny in any way. Most people are here to talk about COVID, so let's talk. Exactly. I think we have to economize our time here. I only got a couple hours at the most today, so why don't we get back to COVID? Yeah. That is the only thing that matters in this world. It's accelerating quite quickly, I would say, in the United States. The biggest thing that I have seen And I talk to people here. They've never heard of this.
Contact tracing.
We're doing really good contact tracing.
Health experts say we're going to need a small army of contact tracers in the weeks ahead.
Contact tracing.
Contact tracing program.
Contact tracing, we need to staff up for that.
In a crazy world where the authoritarians want your freedom stripped through so-called contact tracing, and in the spirit of true freedom, which is the spirit of resistance and rebellion, comes our brand new shirt. Contact Trace This. When injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. You can get this design on any shirt.
Anyway, this is a YouTube channel that I'm now a patron of. I can't remember why I stopped subscribing to this guy, but that doesn't matter. He's doing good work on COVID now, so I'm back subscribing to the guy on YouTube. It's High Impact Flicks. The guy does fantastic videos. I think he's an Oklahoma somewhere, at least that's where his P.O. box is, does some pretty hard-hitting, good videos. And have you guys heard of contact tracing going around the room?
Oh, absolutely. It's the thing, man. It's here like you wouldn't believe.
It's not here in Canada. I've never heard it talked about here, but it's in Australia?
Absolutely.
They're talking about it there?
And New Zealand. In New Zealand, I just signed a petition yesterday. Sorry, COVID-19. I signed a petition.
Okay, Rick just passed out, so let's go.
No, I signed a petition. In New Zealand, they want the authorities to have a warrantless arrest thing. They can come into your house without a warrant and check you for COVID-19. If you haven't got three toilets and there's one person in there that's got it, the other two people need to have their own toilets, or you have to have your own toilet. Otherwise, they take you out of your house and you're gone. You get put in a COVID-19, you know.
But what does
place.
That have to do with contact tracing? Are you guys hiring an army of civilians that are going to come around? And it's a bureaucratic nightmare. How the hell can you figure out who has interacted with who?
Yeah, it's difficult.
It's insane.
It's almost impossible.
It's like counting sand on a beach. It doesn't make any sense
also,
at all.
Hey, also, if I take my specific case,
all right,
communicate, I am using a SIM card that is not registered to my name. It is registered to a friend of mine that is living 100 kilometers away from Geneva. And day to day, I'm not living in the place where my address is registered. I am living at my girlfriend's place. And I have absolutely nothing official between me and my girlfriend. So just me, I will be
it's
difficult to contact.
It's obvious that you are a candidate. You're obviously a good candidate for a chip then in your skin because you are just flouting the law. Let's go down to Heroes, who's checking in from Tampa, Florida. Hello.
Hey, how are you? Sorry, I've been absent the last couple of weeks. I've been.
We've already replaced you with Farce Value in Miami, Florida.
Good. All right. Well, listen, I'll check in with you guys.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Heroes talk.
I know you are. So,
by the way, you have nice knees. You keep filming your knees in your car.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Gorgeous knees. Gorgeous.
Put messages on your knees because the women will go wild.
Well, I do today. I do want to talk to you guys about what I have been up to this last, I want to talk about contact tracing first, but at some point during this call,
You're President Fauci on Twitter, right?
I am President Fauci.
Okay, I wasn't sure because you've had a couple different handles on Twitter.
Well, I have a couple different handles because they keep ticking my ass off.
Oh, okay. Accounts.
I have now three accounts that have been terminated because I am what do they call me? I am a disinformationist. So
disinformation agent. Yeah, you do
and
look like
didn't
one.
Didn't they just IP ban you at one point? Would that be easier, at least?
I don't think they can IP ban you if you're using a mobile phone because you're on a different IP all the time.
Yeah, good point. And I never use my I don't know. I guess I am using my IP with my
Hold on here.
I just wanted to comment on the President Fauci Twitter. I noticed a lot of people are taking it seriously. Like they think that it's.
Heroes must be happy to hear that.
It's kind of funny because they're praising him on the tweets, and it's really funny. They're like, "Yeah, go. We need Fauci for president," and I just found it very amusing.
Are you aware of that, Heroes? Have you been contacted by President Fauci?
No, but I find it. You know, when you consider the world of NPCs, if that is a thing. Then I am doing a different kind of programming. I am so satirical, and sarcastic with what I do with that account. And it just boggles my mind that some people take it seriously. I'm like, good God, you are dumb. Stupid is forever, I guess.
Roller here, mate. G'day, mate. Well done on that. I did see a picture the other day. Anthony Fauci up on the podium with Donald Trump standing behind being cucked. I don't know if you can be cucked. A male can cuck another male.
Are you talking about with the
mask? I did not realize how bloody short Anthony Fauci is. He's a tiny little man.
Donald Trump is also tall.
I recently tweeted, basically I am, President Fauci is very self-aware that I'm short, but I want to let you know I don't have a small penis. So that, I brought that out in one of my tweets, just to be clear.
Some of the prostitutes from fake stream media gathered outside.
He's doing really good work.
I love
and here's
ball.
A news gate. Here's a news conference that he went through. And I've got Mr. Fauci
and another 450
head shorter than
$10 billion
Donald Trump. And he's wearing a brown diaper on his face.
It's a diaper.
It's such a cuck. Well, he's the one that said you didn't need to wear it, but now he's...
That's because they made him wear a diaper because he shit his face when he said that, don't you think?
My
opinion is that any politician that is running right now should take as a VP any type of medical authority. That will do wonder to the voting people.
I think I agree with Tim Osmond's idea that the mask is like the GIMP mask. It's a signal of submission to the dominant. As an relationship. So Trump is the dominant one. Fauci has to have the mask because he's submissive to Trump. He's lower on the pecking order.
So on the what order? The pecker order?
Pecker order.
Right.
Actually, I did.
Hey, just to be serious for a second. Fauci became the head of the CDC in 1984, and we all remember in 1984 what was the first thing that pops into my mind. Margaret Heckler under Ronald Reagan came out and said, "We found the probable cause of AIDS." And they were looking for something, and Fauci was all over that because remember, Peter Duesberg was trying to find a link between cancers to see if cancer was catchy. But once they couldn't do that, they had this gay-related immune deficiency, which was called GRID, and then they changed that to AIDS because a lot of the gay people then were using amyl nitrate. And then they made it into something that could be passed on. Yeah. And he is a part of that, and he is responsible for so many deaths, and how anyone can take that guy seriously.
Took that and made a post called GIMP Mask. I wrote, I can't help but think of the word GIMP when watching all the profane wearing their masks. I just mean seeing people walking around the street wearing these big medical blue, mostly blue masks that cover most of their face. And I actually ran into
a...
No,
team, though.
And I continue
to
write.
I will give you an example.
Hold on a sec, Heroes. Let me just finish this.
Yeah. Sure.
We know the elite hate us, but must they humiliate us, though? Why can't the majority see this? Do they really all think that all of a sudden that they were all toxic right after 3/11? In other words... They just suddenly became toxic after 3/11. Before 3/11, they weren't toxic. I mean, it's disgusting. And then I put the definition of GIMP from Wiktionary. It's a name-calling word generally for a person who is perceived to be inept, deficient, or peculiar. Synonyms, dweeb, nerd, geek, gump, bod, dark. And it also has the BDSM definition, a sexual submissive, almost always male, dressed generally in black leather suit. see GIMP sadomasochism in Wikipedia.
Ab, where did the GIMP come from? It came from a Ronald Reagan movie. It was sorry, it was the Gipper, wasn't it?
He was the Gipper. But, but Heroes, what did you want to say?
Well, if I could have just literally a couple minutes, because this is really important, because the last 2 weeks I have been, I think, the tip of the spear with this mask thing. I know I am. I think I'm the only one on the planet who now can legally board an airplane that requires masks, and I do not have to wear one, and I'll tell you how and why. I travel a lot, right?
Okay.
Now, to this group, I will share with you that in my mind, I absolutely disdain the thought of submitting and wearing a mask. So I decided, you know what? We've all seen that meme going around that says, it talks about ADA and HIPAA, and you know, that is pretty cool if you want a card to carry maybe to a CVS or maybe to a Costco and you want to bluff your way through. But guess what? That's not going to get the job done when you're trying to board an airplane. So I decided I was going to take it upon myself and make the investment. And I initially started out searching for an attorney, because I wanted to reverse engineer this. If I was ever in court, if I was called on it and I had to go to court because I was denied access on an airplane, and I resisted and I'm like, made a big deal out of it and retained an attorney, well, then what is going to be my basis and what is going to be the proof? So I started searching for the attorney, and then I stumbled upon, somebody recommended, I think it was in a JLB forum, that I speak to this guy named Jay Shore, who is an ADA advocate. He's a certified ADA advocate. And I'm glad I did. I reached out to him, and the guy, you know, has forgotten more about the American Disabilities Act than I'll ever know. And I started talking to him and sharing with him, and I'm trying to determine, other than the fact I don't want to succumb to authority, what might be my issue that would, you know, keep me from wearing a mask physically? Well, when I put on a mask, I literally get anxious. Now, to this group, maybe I'm anxious because I want to say fuck you to the man. But to anybody else out there, true story. When I was young, my older brother, who didn't like me very much, I was the youngest, and I guess I got more attention. He didn't like me. He tried drowning me when I was 7 years old. Literally tried drowning me. My dad beat his ass after that. And ever since then, I have, and everybody who knows me, my whole life in business, they always joke. They're like, okay, Toddy, we're going to dinner. Toddy, you tell us where you want us to sit, because I always have to tell, I have to sit where I need to sit. Usually it's in the center of the restaurant. I usually have to have my back. You know, I need to be able to see as much of the restaurant as possible. And you know, I have never thought about that in my life. I've always been able to self-mitigate. I've never thought about that as to why I'm kind of like that. I just kind of put it, I'm claustrophobic. I just don't like. Well, when I was speaking with Jay and I shared that story, he's like, Todd, what you have, and I'm no doctor, I'll have to speak with a doctor, but what you have is vintage post-traumatic stress disorder. He says, you have a fear-based psychic trauma that happened, rightly. Your brain goes into self-protection, fight or flight mode when something is covering your mouth because you don't want to drown. Even though you're 55 years old, you don't want to drown. And it just triggered me. I'm like, Jesus, maybe that's my problem. Maybe that's what I am, why I am so resistant to this massing.
Hold on, bud.
Yeah.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Have you ever questioned the nature of your reality?
All the time.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, guys, even when I visually go through a store and see people wearing masks, it really makes me anxious because I'm like, I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, how do you breathe? How do you breathe? So with that, then Jay said, okay, I can help you. Let me tell you what I do. I am an ADA advocate. Now, if you are properly rightly diagnosed with a disorder that is called an invisible disability, so we all know the sign for someone who has physical or immobility issues, you know, it's the wheelchair, right? We're all aware of that. Stores are all aware of that. They are willing to accommodate people, and by law, they have to accommodate those people. But there is no such thing for an invisible disability. So what do you do instead? He created this card for me, and I know that I had put it, I later deleted it because he was uncomfortable with his cell phone number being on there, and I understand. But I posted that I now have a card that when I go to some place that requires a mask, instead of me, you know, getting into an altercation, or I just simply present it. It explains I have a medical condition that affords me the rights of the American Disability Act, Section X, blah, blah, blah. And if you deny me access, you're assuming that liability. If you have any questions, here's Jay Shores, my ADA advocate's phone number. Call this number. Now, what does that do? It empowers me to have the mental strength to go through society knowing that I have somebody who has my back. Because a lot of times when you have a disorder, when you are confronted, you shut down. You shut down. You don't, you know, you just don't know. Maybe you don't have, I have good gift of gab anyway, but maybe I wouldn't. I don't know. So now they can call Jay. He's on call 24/7 as a service, and he can explain to them. And let me tell you, we have to get him on this call for us to talk about this as the subject of an entire show, Ab, because I think it's that important. I think it's that important.
Fantastic. That's fantastic, man.
And so now my brain, because I'm a business guy, I'm like, okay, I have more than a bluff card right now with Jay as my advocate, but I do not have a legal card. So I'm like, what do I need to do, Jay, to be able to paper this so that I am airtight? And he says, you need to have a letter from your doctor, your medical health professional, your psychiatrist, that basically diagnoses that you have PTSD related to this. So I found a psychiatrist who happened to has cared for members of my family for 20 years. I have never, ever gone to him. I've never gone to a psychiatrist, but at least he's someone I knew and I trusted because he's been a godsend for us with our daughters. So I reached out to him. He didn't even put two to two together, our last names. He when we talked, he didn't know who I was, you know, until later, and I told him, and he was like, oh man, I'm glad I was nice to you. But I talked to him. Now, before I talked to him, and this is what is so great about Jay wanted to arm him, and Jay wrote the most amazing letter that says, I'm no medical professional, but I am a certified ADA advocate. After I consulted with Todd, here's my impression of that he suffers from an invisible disease, and he wrote out just everything that was so beautifully airtight that just, I mean, I'm sorry, guys, but it led the witness, right? So my my job on that call was to basically share what Jay had written. I just needed to discuss what happened to me when I was young, the fact that I am physically, that I will hyperventilate if I have to put on a mask.
You wouldn't be the only one. A lot of people feel that way. I do a little bit when I haven't had a traumatic time.
Well, let me tell you, there's a rest of the story here. There's a rest of the story here. So I spoke to the doctor, and indeed, within 30 minutes of that session, it was determined, and he said, I am very comfortable writing this letter. Now, being the tip of the spear on this, there's going to be a lot of psychiatrists who are going to be very uncomfortable writing any letter. Why? Because they do not want to presume the liability. If somehow this goes to the court of law, they don't want the letter to be that, hey, he has the rights to enter your facility and you're presuming legal liability. Nope. That is not what Jay wrote, what they should write. And it's like three sentences. And it totally takes the liability off the psychiatrist, which is important so that they're comfortable using this. Why might they be uncomfortable? It's simple. We're all familiar with the airplanes where there's these comfort pets. It used to be comfort pets were a real thing, that there were people that really needed the comfort of a pet to be able to get through life. Well, what happened? It started to become abused to where everybody on the planet...
Comfort goat.
Yeah, a comfort goat, a comfort llama, comfort pig, all of those things. So now I learned from my psychiatrist. He said, I used to write those letters like they were, you know, initially like they're just candy. He said, and then I started to realize, man, people are just, they've caught on. They're like, if you go to a psychiatrist and say these things, then, you know, they'll write a letter. And he says, now what I do is I charge $500 for that letter. And he goes, then that vets out all of the people that are full of shit. And he goes, now, once people who have been willing to pay that $500 and for my services, it's always paid before the session, I will then have the session. And if I discern that this is legit, I always, always tell them, you will not be charged that $500. He said, that's just my means, my measure of being able to vet them. So where's all of this going? I'm a business guy and I think a little differently than most. And so I'm thinking, you know, what I just went through is a process that I would like to, I'm in the process of presenting it to, you know, the leaders of our organization. I would like to see and do a viability study to assess the market. There are 56 million people with disabilities. We do not know how many additional have the invisible disabilities. We know that there is the card you can hang on your card that says you have an immobility impairment, but there is no such equivalent for an invisible disability. So my mission right now in life, I'm telling you guys, that's why I'm the tip of the spear, but I'm also going to do something about it, is I want to put together and business isn't the right word, it's the service. I want to put together a service that is going to include changing the world. By changing the world, I mean, if I do what I want to do in my head, I want there to be the equivalent of that wheelchair that can be put on a card, a placard, a lanyard, anything, a license plate, whatever, that would be the equivalent of the wheelchair, but it would denote that it is an invisible disability or a mental disability. And then that's going to provide a different level of protection, both for the person who suffers from it, but also it's going to help the airlines, the Costcos, the whatever, to where it's not going to be a big deal. It won't be me having to educate everyone, because believe me, the next time I go to the airport, I'm going to be the first person ever to go through this process, and we'll determine where it is from there. So part of what I want to pull together is a service to where people who have this issue, Ab, you say that you have it, and it.
I think everyone has it to an extent. You have an extreme version because you had a traumatic event, but I don't think anyone. I have breathing issues on my own with asthma and allergies, and now I've got this fantastic post-nasal drip. You know, I got lots of issues. I think a lot of people do, and wearing a mask is not helpful in any way. I'll wear a mask if I'm cutting wood and there's wood chips and dust all over the place, or if I'm driving through a super dusty warehouse. I'll sometimes wear a mask because I don't want all the dirt and dust to get in my nose. But overall, it is an impediment to breathing.
Ab, thank you. Because I just wrote that down. For me, I've been thinking about disabilities like mine, but I just wrote down asthma and allergies.
Oh, Mike, everyone's got allergies.
I'm going to absolutely consider that because I think there is an equal, an arm of this. So let me just tell you the process in my mind. We have a conversation about the service, and I have even arrived at the name for it and cannot believe I got this URL. But it is, I secured the URL advocacy.solutions. I didn't know there was a dot solutions out there.
Yeah.
But
well, you're going to get a dot anything other than com. It's not that difficult because most, a lot of servers and whatnot don't accept or don't find it easily, the dot, whatever it is, other than com. So it's not that hard. And I'm not sure everyone knows how to spell advocacy either.
it's 9/11 in Australia, just mentioning it.
That's thank you. It's 7-Eleven here. Go get
can I ask you a question?
Hold on. We got heroes going on here. So, heroes, can you wrap
sorry,
it up
heroes.
A bit? Just
keep
to
going, man. The tagline on it is ounce of prevention advocacy. So you know, what I want to do is somebody comes in and basically you'd be able to describe what an invisible disability is. I think, Ab, with what you, the little gem you gave me, want to talk about physical disabilities such as asthma and whatever, anything, because this, I just know this is such a huge deal for more people than just me. I want to determine how we can have basis to be able to, if it ever ended up in a court of law, that you would literally have everything you would need to hand deliver to an attorney and they could go represent you and you would win. And
did
so
you say it was advocacy.solution?
Solutions.
Solutions. See, advocacy.solutions, if you punch it into Google, which is turns it into a search bar, if you've turned your URL bar into a search bar, there is a company called Advocacy Solutions. You might have a problem with them. So, anyway.
I did that. I didn't see, if you type in just advocacy space solutions, I thought it came up with one of those, you know, like, oh, you could secure this if you hired someone or something like that.
Okay. You did it on GoDaddy, so it seems to have resolved to GoDaddy. Is that where you put it?
I put it on GoDaddy.
Yeah. Okay. So it's there, but I'm just saying Advocacy Solutions is a company.
Okay. So that's probably referring to me. That it's
no, it's another company on LinkedIn. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a hard word to spell, but it sounds like a worthwhile thing that you're doing, and good on you. And Rolo might have. Can I let Rolo say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, what was the name? So that was advocacysolutions.com, is that right?
It's a mouthful.
Yeah. Okay.
What
this
was
is
your
great.
New one, Ab?
This is part of me. You guys are saying this, I will challenge myself to come up with a different URL.
Everyone here, go around the room. Who can spell advocacy? Go.
ADVOCY.
Wrong. All right.
Okay.
Well,
I
thank
didn't
you,
know
heroes. Heroes, let me just real quick. Are you to the point where you feel confident that if you want to walk into, say, Publix, for example, because that's where I had a problem yesterday, that you've got a solution in your pocket that will get you through the door without any problem?
Absolutely. 100%. 100%.
And is that a card?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and you actually, Heroes actually did a video or something on Twitter. I can't remember where it is. But you've got a laminated card, a disability card. You have a warning card that somebody printed out. You also bought the IPS press pass, which is cool. So I know you're fully armed. You know what the problem is though? The problem is this. When you go anywhere into a store and you start arguing with a minimum wage clerk who really couldn't care less about any exceptions to the rule and you start to escalate, I know you're right. You're completely right. But arguing with someone making minimum wage, including a security guard who might have a baton or something that can hurt you, is almost a waste of time, and it's a guaranteed conflict. And
okay.
That's the only problem. You can be
there's
right, and you're right around us, but
no,
I'm
there's
just
a
telling
solve.
You. Go ahead.
That's been addressed. That's part of the ounce of prevention. So when I went to Costco 2 days ago, I pulled in the parking lot and I called Costco. I asked to speak to the manager. At the manager, her name was Gina. And I said, Gina, my name is Todd Pittner. I'm a Costco member. I'm in the parking lot. I would like to come in. I'm requesting reasonable accommodation from you. I have a medical condition that I cannot wear a mask. So I would like to meet you because I have documentation. I would like to meet you at the front door if you would please do that for me so that I can have access without issue. And you know what she said? She said, oh, no sweat. Let me, just tell them that you... Tell him that Gina said this is fine and
welcome.
Of course,
and you, of course, that's fine. You escalated to the manager. How many times can one do that? I'm not going to go into a 7-Eleven and call ahead and say, hi, I'm coming for a Slurpee. Nobody better stop me. I'm not wearing a mask. I'm calling the manager. I'm just saying you're going above and beyond, which is fantastic, but it's unreasonable for most people. The manager of Costco is not going to escort everybody into the building. That's an exception.
If you play a disability card, you can do anything these days.
Well, of course you can, but I'm just saying for the average person, this is certainly above and beyond, and it's extremism. I'm support it. Yeah.
But the key is in those situations, it would only be a situation that where, A, I frequent a lot, B, somewhere where I am going to be pushing a cart to where other people are going to be freaking out because I also wear my lanyard that has the ADA advocacy logo on it that does.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it.
Yeah. And an airline. But for 7-Eleven, any of those other places, I have zero issue just pulling this out and saying, read this. And if they have a problem, they can escalate it themselves. I seek problems. I love conflict.
Most people don't.
But
I don't even like
guys
conflict.
Guys like me.
You're the kind of guy that would bring the goat on the plane saying, I need this goat to make this flight. We have a whole plane full of exceptions to the rule. Listen, I think the whole mask thing is bullshit. I don't think it has anything to do with health. We know that the coronavirus is fake. We know that viruses are not contagious. So now, you know what's happened? We've all moved away from the central lie, and now the elite have all the profane, which is us, fighting amongst ourselves about the most mundane, idiotic things. It's literally idiocracy times 1,000. And that's what the issue is. I know you've made the exception, but this guy who makes minimum wage is not going to let you in the store, and he's willing to come to blows with anybody who doesn't comply.
Okay.
That's
the
problem.
I want to interrupt
that.
You real quick here, Ab. Okay. This is important.
Okay,
I listened to a guy recently on a podcast that did an audio update of Harry Brown's How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World. And it's basically a practical idea of how you can find a way to be free in your own life without having to change the world first. Mm-hmm. And I applaud Heroes for what he's done, because this idea that we can spread the word, I'm not sure if that's what you're suggesting, but I look at that as completely and totally hopeless. I do not see people changing their mind. I think they're impervious to logic and facts. They're driven far by emotion and what they see on the television. You can, and I'm talking about close personal friends of mine that I've had hours long conversations with about this. They are not going to change. And I don't want to wear a mask. So whatever the solution is out there and Hero's suggesting, I'm all for it. I am not going to wait till people change their minds before I go about my business and get on with my life in a way that
this is what normally happens. Listen to this audio.
Hold on.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
And thank you to Shirt Ninja. He was the last guy to send a donation. Here's a guy that walks into some store somewhere in the United States. Can you listen?
This was a CVS.
Yeah, audio's up.
Nah, it's no good.
Well, it's very low. Someone is just filming it from a distance.
Is that the black guy in the story?
Yeah.
He doesn't understand anything about conflict resolution. He's, you know.
Hey, Ab.
Yeah, go ahead.
We get it. I don't think you can hold that up as an example of what people should expect. Part of what in my vision is that this does become the ounce of prevention. Part of that is instructing people on how you manage this when you go in. The whole goal is to be able to help people who have any kind of issue, be it now asthma or allergies or whatever, to be able to assist them so that they don't have to inhibit their breathing. So we can help them and train them. If that were me walking into there, you know what I would do? I would say, hey, I can appreciate that. Thank you for your service here. Let me share with you this. Just go ahead and please read this. And then if you have any questions.
To buy a bag or box of milk. It seems so extreme.
Well, what's your solution, Ab? What is your solution? I want to hear what you...
Start.
I want to hear your solution.
Well, okay. I don't have a solution.
You're being too negative. You're too negative all the time.
Yeah, well, why are you raining on this parade?
Hey, Ab, let me...
Guys. Give me a moment. Your interview with Brian Stavely, what Brian Stavely is doing, I think, is is helping.
He didn't wear a mask to New York.
He got his mate to film.
Oh, gold skid marks chiming in.
Ab, you're being very government. You're being too government here. You stand up for 5G all the time. And now you're standing up, you're saying that it's not a word.
I don't stand up for 5G.
Yes,
I'm trying to come to a better understanding of which I don't think you are.
But, Ab, can I finish something? Can I just finish this?
I hear it.
It's like, listen to you tell me about, but, you know, are you going to do that every time you go into, all you've done is conceded by having that line of thought. If we don't do something... Just go ahead. You know what? Let's just imagine everybody who has to walk into a store has to just bend over, grab the back of their knees, and walk through.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm 100% there. You've got to fight fire with fire. And disabilities are the biggest story on the planet. I'll just tell you a story. I've been trying to ring up to get a government payment for my own self, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you ring up on the line, the COVID line, it says, are you an Aboriginal or do you identify as Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander? And
press
I click
one.
That button. I press one straight away and I talk in a slightly
different accent, what a mess they've made.
And I get straight through immediately. But when I try to do it as a normal, you know, Australian, New Zealander.
You're number 592 on the list.
So now I've got straight through every time.
You got right through to the one Aboriginal who's waiting for your call because they understand your particular situation.
And then I said, I have a disability. I've got, what's the thing when you can't read?
I said,
I'm dyslexic. I have issues.
Yes. And she goes, you think you have 19 COVID?
Very good.
But immediately, I got straight through to the tax department, and the girl was she felt sorry for me because I had a disability, which obviously I was dyslexic, I'm partly, I would say, but not really. And I got everything resolved immediately just by using the disability key because people will not attack any disability. If you say that you've got an issue with a mask, you are disabled. So he's right. He's 100% right. This is a good way.
Only difference, guys, is that instead of faking it, I've documented it and I've papered it and it's legal. I've gone through everything that is required that a judge would ultimately look at and say, okay, you went through, you made this investment up front in attorneys, in an ADA advocate, and a mental health professional.
You've tried
the documented this. You called the manager beforehand, or maybe you didn't, but you showed them this up front.
Yep.
And now they chose not to call Jay. I wish they would have called you, but they chose that. They assumed that liability, and they still denied you access. And you know what? You didn't pull out your concealed carry and put them at gunpoint.
Exactly.
You pulled out your cell phone just to make sure, and you started recording and say, okay, let me be clear. Even though I've shown you this, and now have you read this, sir? Yes. Have you called Jay? No. Okay. But you're denying me access. Yes, sir? Yes. Okay. Well, you've assumed that liability, and you will be hearing from us. Now, part of what I want to put together is the last leg of the stool, and I'm working on this next week, is I'm going to try to find a network of attorneys with ADA, with disability experience who would be willing to be able to take this on a pro bono basis on the backside. Or maybe even not pro bono. See, in my mind, and because you have to be able to pay these experts, right? My nut on paying all of this was $1,500. And so, but I talked to everyone along the way, and I said, if we could figure a way to get this down to something reasonable, define reasonable, right? But again, go back to the pet, comfort pets. Have to have a certain bar to keep the flack out, to keep the liars out. So in my mind, that's $795 because I think that would pay for the psychiatrist, the ADA advocate to be on call. And then you could have like a monthly service that, you know, if you want an ADA advocate on call 24/7 and attorneys on call 24/7, you know, maybe that's $995 a month or something like that. So I'm looking at a solution that people, instead of just bitching about it and posting videos of black guys about to, you know, go to fisticuffs, we provide a solution to where if you're serious about this, guys, if you have a condition with asthma or you have a condition with an invisible disability, here's a solution to where we can provide you that ounce of prevention to give you the mental health required to go through society on your own terms. That's all I want to do.
Okay. Well, I don't want to rain on your parade. I know I did a little bit, but it just seems like a lot.
You're just a doctor, no, by nature. So
And you call me negative, Ed.
Well, I don't think everything in the world is a conspiracy, but on the other, I know. I have my negative moments.
I do because we're in.
I know you do.
We're in a global prison there. And it's because of people like me getting laughed at because saying,
I agree.
What's going to happen?
Listen, we're in Alex Jones's world. Forget Rick's world. This is the stuff that Alex Jones was yapping about. This guy's a lunatic. I didn't think any
of
this would happen. Yeah, honestly. And now look at it. We're in the middle of it. It's just.
Can I tell you a story? Can I tell you a story about my laminated card that I used to carry around? In about 2003 to 2004, after 9/11, I used to carry a laminated card in my wallet. And I said to the person, whoever it was, I've got a laminated card in my wallet. I bet you I can get you to say what's written on it. And I go, do you know the planes didn't hit the towers on 9/11? And they go, you're a conspiracy theorist. And bang, I bring out the laminated card, and it was conspiracy theorist written on it, programmed. That was my laminated card story.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
What did that get you?
Nothing.
What did it get me? I felt good because I knew that I told a person that you've been programmed to say you're a conspiracy theorist. You've been programmed to say that.
And then did you say,
have you seen this before?
Can we listen to President Trump say something?
Yeah, that's it. Go, Trump. Go, red man. Orange man, sorry.
Let's hear the Trumpster.
But the one, this is us in the blue.
You're up to 10 million.
Now look at this, over 10 million tests.
So we get to a place where the White House is in corporate America where every time you go to work, you just get your temperature and you get a test. Is that where we're going?
You don't want to be doing that. Look, we want to go back to, like, you want to see a baseball game or you want to see a basketball or football. You want to walk into a stadium. I went to the Alabama LSU game last year. They had 110,000 people in the stadium. I don't want to see 25,000 people where you have empty seats all over the place.
When do you think we can get back to that, Mr. President? How long is it going to take to get back to normalcy?
Yeah, I think we're going to have a vaccine by the end of the year. We're doing very well with the vaccine. And I will tell you something. I just literally left a meeting. We're mobilizing our military and other forces, but we're mobilizing our military on the basis that we do have a vaccine. You know, it's a massive job to give this vaccine. Our military is now being mobilized, so at the end of the year, we're going to be able to give it to a lot of people very, very rapidly.
And you're just doing something with syringes as well, so that you can have it plentiful.
That's
you
right.
have enough vaccine.
We will have a tremendous force, because assuming we get it, then you have to distribute it.
Right.
And unless you're mobilized and ready, you're not going to be able to do it for a long time. So we're starting now. We're of the assumption that by the end of the year, we're going to have a vaccine, and then we have to be able to give it, to use it.
Fantastic. The end of the year, fantastic clairvoyance this guy has, that they've already lined up the military to shoot people. Now, does that not make people here think twice? That my
Horrible.
Goodness, this is unbelievable.
Horrible. Hey.
So,
hey,
like, listen, we all know there's no vaccine, so we all know what the plan is. They have everything laid out in the calendar. There's no if, whens. They have it laid out because there's no vaccine for a virus that doesn't exist. It's just stunning, really.
Ab, check your show notes. Check your show notes. And just read. Just read that as if you're that 7-Eleven dude. When I walk in.
Yes. You want me to read what you just put? You know, it's on,
yeah.
the, on its side.
Yeah.
Let me just turn my head here.
Oh, sorry.
This is to certify that is a qualified individual with a disability that precludes him from wearing a face mask or face covering of any type. The Americans with Disability Act and Section blah, blah, blah of the Rehabilitation Act are invoked, as well as 42 section of something else, which prohibits the interference with or retaliation against the exercise of ADE rights. You are, yeah, okay. I've read it. It's a
no,
pretty
finish,
good chart.
Finish for everyone.
I know, but you're making me turn my head 90 degrees. It's not
Here,
easy.
I'll finish.
You are with notice to request for a reasonable accommodation to allow access absent a mask. Your denial of accommodation or access is your liability. For verification of his status or the legitimacy of his claim, call me at. Okay, I got it.
Read the
bottom. Very good.
That's very, very important. It says, we document bullying and discrimination for litigation. That's
yes.
the last.
Yeah, thing. It looks very official. It's very good.
Because
when will
is.
You be making them available for people to purchase?
Not making them available to purchase, but I'm going to do my damnedest to be able to create a model where somebody could go have a free consultation with an ADA advocate. And that free consultation, they can discern whether someone's full of shit or not. And then if so, they can explain to them the program to where we can then connect you to a certified mental health professional who's very aware of this issue. And you can then take it to them. And then at some bottom line is it'll be a turnkey thing to where if ultimately it is determined that you have an invisible disability, you will be able to have what I have to provide you access with good conscience, where you don't have to be the confrontationist. We'll have your back for you, up into including litigation if needed.
Hey, Heroes, well done, mate. You've had your chance. And look, mate, can I just... You've had plenty of airtime. Here we go. I've got today's paper, right? I've got today's paper. We were just talking about Orange Man. So here we go. We've got the Daily Telegraph, Saturday, May 16, 2020. U.S. diplomat slams China's virus exports. Yanks on red alert. Donald Trump's top-ranking official in Australia has lambasted China's communist government, accusing it of creating a global pandemic through its brazen dishonesty, in quotes, on COVID-19, as well as further interests in our region. In the most hawkish language on the developing rift with China and U.S. Ambassador Arthur B. Calderhouse Jr., condemned China as bullies trying to destabilize our region with a shocking new vigor, with shocking new vigor, while the rest of the world grappled with the pandemic, which has killed 300,000 people. What do you think of that? That's the front page of the Daily Telegraph today, Ab.
I think it's the official alternate conspiracy theory that China is behind it, and it just confirms the concept of you can catch a virus. In this case, they're calling it a weaponized virus from China. It's not helping the situation. It's not. It's just aggravating the situation. It's just taking it to one extra level. And the thing that we really have to just use all our breath to mention is you can't catch a virus. .com. You cannot catch a virus. .com.
Well done.
Else falls apart. And when you tell that to people, they say, "Well, what do you mean?" Well,
tell the Baptist there's no God, Ab, and see how far you get. Seriously.
Well, I have. Okay. Are you poo-pooing what I'm having to say for us?
I absolutely am, because you got to find other workarounds for this. These people are lost. Okay. They're so lost. My experience is that you're not going to change any. It's not. They're impervious to facts. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. No factual information is going to be absorbed by people of this mindset.
Nobody.
I mean,
Do you have any solutions for our value?
But I'm more on board with Heroes. Find it, hacking your way through it. Find them workarounds, whatever you can do. You got to, if you have to live off the bread, any legal thing, whatever, you play that game, deception, whatever you're going to do to find a way to live life on your terms, and because you're not going to change anybody. You can't wait for people to change to live your life. It's not going to happen.
And are you agreeing with the new normal then?
No, but up until yesterday, I've been going into stores all over the place, South Florida, where they have mask mandate, and I walk in without a mask, and nobody says anything. Nobody's ever said anything to me. I had a manager say something to me yesterday, and, I kind of like, I can't understand you. I can't hear what you're saying.
Because he was wearing a mask.
Yeah. And he said, well, you got to have it. I'm like, I don't have one. He said, well, you got to have one. I'm like, well, I said, I'll tell you what, I'll just check out, and I'll get out of here. And I had about half a basket. I was ready to go anyway, and that was the first time. So now I'm kind of looking at this car thing.
You know,
I'm
going
to continue
escalate.
To do it until somebody says something. But mostly they haven't said anything. So, that's the way I've been managing it. But if it comes down to, some sort of showdown, I'd love to have something in my pocket like this. And I'd rather do that than try to change a million people's minds.
Reach out to me.
No, you're right.
I'll plug you into Jay.
And I wanted, before Heroes gets away, I'll be your one of your premier patrons, Hero, and I don't want to wait till the infrastructure is in place, so maybe we can have a discussion offline about how I can follow your
please
path.
Please do. Look, anyone can – I'm happy to give them my email address. It's imtoddp@gmail.com. I'm toddp@gmail.com.
Okay. We'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah, so – I'm happy to, and I can give you provide an overview, because, I look at this a little bit differently, because I have it's kind of a cause thing. It's like, what really drives me is I want to come up with that alternative to the physical impairment badge. I want to be able to have something to where all you literally do is have to sport that emblem, and then no one will fuck with you. That would be that would be the big win in my mind, so that nobody has to confront anybody.
Because I don't have enough time left in my life to convert the world. I want to live my life on my terms as best as I can with the time I have left, in the most expeditious way that I can get to that point. And this sounds like a good idea for me. I mean, we can keep spreading the word, and that's awesome, but yeah, that's going to be a long time.
Do you guys think, I have really, at first I thought...
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Jerris from Geneva, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Oh, I've heard of him before.
Me too.
Oh!
Go ahead.
Can I just say another quick thing? I'll probably crash soonish, but I was doing some work in the front of my house last week, and a Swedish psychologist of... quite good repute, who I know for a friend and a Christian who's been totally telling me that I need to go to church and church will help me, came walking past. And she said, well, how's things going? And I said, oh, fantastic. And I said, you know, why haven't I seen the churches fighting back about this closure of your churches? And she said, oh, well, the virus is so bad. And I said, well, you know that the virus is an absolute fake. And the look she gave me, she gave me that. She started smiling and then backed off, like she was backing off across the road so I couldn't talk to her. And I said, I'm sorry, this virus is fake. And I said, you need to do some research and look into it. And she just looked at me like I was completely mentally ill, right? So when you try and say something to some people...
Yeah, you're right. So maybe he has the best idea. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Rick. Hold on, Rick.
Heroes started first. Go ahead, Heroes.
Okay. I have one question for anybody out there. I always look for the solution and the silver bullet. I would love to be able to say what you just said about the virus is a fake. But guess what? That becomes empty. It becomes a non-starter for 99.9% of the people out there. Hear my question. So what I am interested in, and Ab, you said it, you can't catch a virus.com. Is there?
Benoit, you're making too much noise there, Benoit.
Hello?
Okay.
So
yeah.
Is there a collection of, you know, articles that are not, don't have fucking InfoWars in the lower right? Are there anything that are medical documents or something that back up that claim that you cannot catch a virus? Because if there was that, I would be more than happy to be able to say someone, hey, listen, Mrs. Smith, I felt the same way you do. I was really scared. But until I learned that you cannot catch a virus, so I started realizing, you know, I think there's something more nefarious at play. In the U.S., I can give you 6 trillion reasons why, because this was used as an excuse to push through this legislation that's been planned for over a year, and it just boggles my mind. But it made me feel so much better, because now it took the fear away from me of going out in public, because I know you can't catch a virus. Well, here, can you go to youcan'tcatchavirus.com? Just do that when you get home. You know what?
Well, and you can. That's the page I've made. It's not the best page, but I love this guy's video.
Hey, I've had quite a few questions over the last few weeks, so I'm making this for my friends to clear a few things up. First and foremost, something you should know.
Yeah, he's great.
Cannot catch a virus. And why can't you catch a virus? Because it's impossible. So why is it impossible to catch a virus?
Question.
A virus is alive. Is a virus a living thing? Yeah. So how is it that people think that you can catch something that is not alive?
Everybody knows you never go full retard.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, I know a lot of people are genuinely...
Yeah.
So, we've all seen that, but we also know that anybody out there on the other side who thinks they have a brain has totally, entirely debunked it, and they just make it look like a coup.
Well, Heroes, I shared that to a good friend of mine, and he's 100% flipped around, and he's totally with me.
That's in the show notes, because I know
that is on the website. You can't catch a virus
on FightTube.
His latest one with what you can do about it with a 3-letter system. I shared again last night to 3 different people, and all 3 of them have sent off the 3 letters to the government. So it's that guy is very good.
Explain that, Rick. Explain the 3-letter system.
Yeah, well, you've got, because of the, what are we on, maritime, or, you know, you've got maritime land and air, and that if you don't agree with, say, the 5G tower out in front of your house, or the mandatory flu vaccine, well, it's not mandatory, but they're telling you it is, but it's not. What you do is you accept their offer. So, because basically, if you ever look on most of your emails now for your insurances and things like that, it says, this is our offer. They give you an offer, and if you accept it, you've completely gone with their narrative. So what you say is, I appreciate your offer. If you can send me the verification that your flu shot is 100%.
I have no idea how I'm going to make this video funny. But hold on to your hats, because we're going to take a little ride through legal land.
So I did make the third video, but this week it became obsolete because the people that I learned law from have actually automated the process of being able to send in your notices of non-consent. So all I'm going to do today is walk you through exactly how to do that. So this is all you have to do, and it applies to anyone anywhere in the world. Just go to solutionsempowerment.com/non-consent. If you remember, click yes. If you're not, click no. You don't have to join up just yet. When you get to the next screen, fill out your details. Make sure that they are correct, because this is what the automated process uses to pre-fill your information for your notices. They're asking for a minimum donation of $5 up to whatever is
there. So he has a website. So it does exist.
Do you have that on your site?
Is
that
I'll put a link on the show notes. Copy link location. I'm going to put it in the show notes here.
But
so
it goes
that's
to your
another
site?
Resource. Yes, it's my site. And Heroes, you know, I like the work you're doing, of course. So definitely send me a link, and I'll make a post on it, because I don't want to be accused of being too negative and not offering solutions.
Hey, listen, Ab, I'm sorry. I should have let you finish, but I wanted to interject because I have to go, and I wanted to comment a little bit more on Heroes. And I dropped a podcast into the show notes from School Sucks with Daryl Becker, a very interesting guy who's really good with nonviolent communication. Is anyone here familiar with that? I got a feeling Heroes might be, because he kind of speaks in that way.
I'm not, but I'm fascinated by it.
It's a way of addressing people in an empathetic way that recognizes that you're trying to respond to needs they might have that might not be being met at the time. And I think a lot of people are scared, and I'm terrible at it. I'll admit I'm a very confrontational person and argumentative. But nonviolent communication
is pretty quiet compared to some of the guys around here.
Well, it's a different way of approaching interactions with people, and I just noticed from some of the way Heroes described his interaction that it's more like trying to understand where people are coming from and offering suggestions and connecting with them in an empathetic way, which opens the door a lot of times. Because I have a tendency to think, you moron wearing a mask, you're such an idiot. That's like what's going through my head, and it's not helpful in resolving these things. So I would suggest people listen to this podcast, because Daryl's very much coming from a kind of a red-pilled perspective, but he has those communication tools at his disposal, and it's worth looking into. So,
hey, Ab, are you actually posting these? I don't think you are. Are you posting these discussions, this chat? No, the chat on, onto, God, why am I having an issue?
YouTube?
Not YouTube. Jesus Christ, why am I having an issue?
You're right.
It's okay. It's okay.
A podcast. I mean, are you posting these to iTunes or wherever they
absolutely
they call it?
I have the Fakeologist audio chats. They are a separate series from the Fakeologist show, and they are definitely on every single podcast serving software there is. They all come to my website to get the audio file, but they do exist. They are here. You can get it. They are here.
So I open up always my go-to in the morning is my little iTunes icon.
Right.
For those podcasts. And I subscribe to you, but I haven't heard any of these. So maybe there's a secondary one. But can you post that in show notes too, please?
I can indeed. I will.
I do just want to say, Ab, I owe you a great high five from afar. When you were talking about youcan'tcatchavirus.com, I entirely missed that in discussions prior. I didn't know you had that site, and thank you, because that's like, if somebody came up with this, that would be awesome. But so it's there. Thank you. Awesome.
I have heard reports that people can't get it. So you're on an Apple device, you say.
I just did.
Can you just type it? Did it work? Because
I put you can't catch a virus.com, and it took me right to a Fakeologist, it then goes
okay,
to
good. Okay, I'm just fixing one of the audios and videos on there now. But yeah, the stream or all the archives are there. Let me just double check them for you. But they're definitely there. So if you can't get them, then I'm kind of distressed, and now I want to know why. But if you go to fakeologist.com/radio, that's where all the links are, and you should see a if you search on iTunes under Fakeologist Audio Chat, you should be able to find it, no sweat. So I'm kind of disturbed that you can't see it.
Let me look. So I have Fakeologist Show, Fakeologist Anchor Show, and that's it.
Okay. I see the link to the podcast for Apple, but I have to see if it's not showing up there.
So I did Fakeologist Audio Chats, and no results.
Hmm. Okay, thank you. I'll have to figure that out. But you can get them directly if you just go to fakeologist.com/radio.
Well,
that doesn't help you, though. I know.
Well, and plus, when you start thinking about people in mass, people aren't going to do that. You know, they just aren't going to do that. I mean, I love you, but I don't.
I love you.
To the Discord.
And I love you too.
Because that's easy.
Let's just all love. Yeah.
But to go
it's
to
not
your,
gonna help
to go
the masses.
To go to your separate site and reposting it, it's just I just don't have time, you know. So
Agree. And you know, there's a million different broken things that have to be fixed on a daily basis. So I'm gonna work on that. Because I don't have an Apple, so I don't have a way of checking as easily.
Right. But you're doing great. That's I just want you to know that.
Thank you.
Blow some more smoke. Blow some more.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick, before you go, you sent me an awesome audio yesterday, and I hope Ab can play it. PK, can you send him the link? Can you send me the link to that?
What was PK doing now?
It was about the COVID, of course. It was about the something tracker. And it was just a whole collection.
Contact tracers.
Yeah. If you can send that to Ab and get him to play it on this podcast, that'd be great.
Apparently it got deleted, though. So I shared it on...
over the target.
I'll share it. I'll give it to him.
You do it. Yeah. And that's the fact.
I've already posted it, but I'll find it again.
You said that you did. So yeah, you've done it before. Okay.
I have. Again, there's so much material out here. It just never ends.
I'm sharing stuff nonstop.
I know, and so many people that I share stuff to, they don't want it. Once you get more than two or three links in the WhatsApp or wherever you're sending it, they just get fatigued.
Why don't people just concentrate on the official story? Like in Australia, it's 97 deaths. There's been 97 deaths out of 25 million people now. all of them are, elderly with, multiple comorbidities.
95 and in a rest home.
And we're being asked, everything's been shut down on that basis. So when I talk to my various people about and they yell at me from Facebook or whatever, I simply say, what actually is it that you're frightened of? What actually is it that you are fearful of? You're fearful of something which has caused no effect in the death rate at all. It's caused, the area under the graph, which is the total number of people that are going to be affected, is not going to change whether you bring it on slowly or bring it on fast.
Hey, ounce of salt question.
Yeah.
So I have been engaging with this guy from California who is a relatively smart individual, but he is totally on the opposite side of me. But he suffers through me. He doesn't call me a conspiracy. He laughs and jokes that you're the my conspiracy friend. But he says this, anyone here, I'm not a good researcher, guys, but so he basically shoved back in my face and he said, look, you can say that the death rate isn't real. He said, but just take a look at New York City and look at the deaths from 2017, 18, 19, and 20 during this time. And there has been an absolute spike. And to deny that is to play ostrich and almost like a shame on you. And that was his gotcha. So I'd be interested.
You know what they've done, though. That everyone that dies of COVID, and there's plenty of evidence to say that they've been told to diagnose.
If that were the case, they would just be shifting the cause of death. He's saying the pie grew, and that was hard for me to rebuke.
The problem that we are going to have always is until we see the actual figures rather than the estimated figures, because a lot of this stuff is models and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that in Sweden, for example, for the time up to about mid-March where they had the figures, mortalities were lower than the average for the past 5 years for the same time of year.
Exactly. Yeah.
The only place that we've had these weird numbers is New York.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly New York is anomalous. But it's also the place where they've got the most respirators, and most of the people that have died have been respirated. Now, you're familiar with the respiration system where they anesthetize people, and healthy people that get pumped up with air, they have hemorrhages in their lungs, essentially.
Right.
So the fatality rate when you're intubated and respirated is well over 40%.
If someone had said to you in this...
I'm just trying to get that video while you're talking. Sorry, carry on.
So the key killer of this thing so far has been respiration.
I like that.
Mechanical respiration. Now, there are already, you know, assuming that you've got problems with your lungs, there are many treatments which are proved to be more efficacious, in particular a technology called HHO technology, a Brown's gas technology, for example, which has been trialed very successfully.
Bicarb.
No, it's not bicarb. It's just a machine which separates hydrogen and oxygen in water. It's called Brown's gas, and people breathe in the Brown's gas, and that's very effective at clearing the lungs. And that's been successfully employed in China with apparently 100% recovery. So again, what's happening in New York is where they've got all these machines, which are just, and there's been a financial incentive, I understand, to use these machines.
30,000. What was the word that you used when you talked about mechanical respiration? What does it do to the lungs? You used one word.
So what happens is, with a person with healthy lungs, if the pressure that's used to inflate the lungs is too high, it will rupture the lungs.
All right.
And Ab,
I just sent it to you, mate. There you go.
I think I have it.
Yeah, sorry, Frank. G'day, Frank. Yeah.
The issue in New York, possibly, we're not going to know this until everything comes out in the wash, right? But the New York is clearly anomalous, but practically, in fact, I would suggest that, you know, I'm going to pluck a Pareto's number out, 80% of the people that have died are on mechanical respiration.
That's awesome. Thank you.
But it's awful.
Well done, Frank. That's awfully awesome.
Well, it just becomes, I mean, when I debate people, I want to be able to have a basis of fact and or something that's rational, you know, not just my opinion and not just, blah, 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 you know.
You have to look at what is different about New York compared to anywhere else.
Right.
And you know, I can't guarantee that.
Now, ask Golden.
That is my understanding.
Hey, Frank, ask Golden Skidmark.
Be serious. I mean, it's not New York, it's New York. And it's always
I knew you'd say that, mate.
I guess it gives a new meaning to the idea that if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
You can make it anywhere. Yeah, but what about... What about these?
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
So, Jerry Stiller passed away this week, right?
Oh, rest in peace, Jerry Stiller, yes.
Yeah, but guess what he didn't die of? He died of natural causes.
Wow!
Now, everyone else that dies, be it Tim Brooke Taylor in England or whatever, died with coronavirus in their system.
Are you kidding me? But Tim Brooke Taylor died with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tim Brooke Taylor. Look it up.
With, not of. It said died with coronavirus.
With.
So he passed away with. So it was very legally termed. And Jerry Stiller, who's definitely Jewish, and Ben Stiller's father, he passed away in late 80s of natural causes.
Found him very funny, Rick. I actually found him very funny. He should have played Ben Stiller's father in Meet the Fockers rather than Dustin Hoffman.
Way better.
Yeah, he would have been, wouldn't he? Yeah. Hey, can we have a watering break? Ab, can you play that PK thing that I sent you?
Yeah, I'm going to play it.
That's fantastic. I love it. I was really...
Yeah, we'll have a water break and then we'll be back. Hey, what do you reckon? Okay.
Water break.
Well, you can water anytime you want. You haven't had a smoke break yet either, so you're in good shape.
I've got my mask on, Ab. I can't have a smoke with my mask on.
I can't believe you haven't done a video of that yet.
Anyway, are we going to play Jerry...
I'm going to play the new normal thing.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Play it.
Let me just queue it up. I'll queue it up on the...
A big shout out to Hoax Syndicate, hoaxsyndicate.com, Bellaset.
How's that going?
Big shout out.
Are you a subscriber?
Good, as far as I'm aware, yeah. Mm.
Are you a subscriber?
No, I'm not, but I should be.
Then how do you know it's going
good?
Because Bellaset told me that...
Are you bearing false witness to...
no, I'm not.
Syndicate?
Dave,
up your ass tomorrow.
Dave can go fuck himself. I love Dave.
Yay.
I love you, Zol.
No, he's good.
A huge war. You started a world
war. Oh, no, I haven't. I'll get Peter from Brittany, France, to help me out because that guy, I swear to God.
Is it coming through?
If someone had said to you in December that by April, millions of people all over the world would be infected with a mysterious new virus that has no vaccine, you'd think they were talking about a Hollywood script. It's happened so fast, it almost doesn't seem real.
Coronavirus pandemic.
Coronavirus pandemic.
Coronavirus.
Coronavirus.
The COVID-19 virus.
This horrible, invisible enemy.
The virus of the virus.
COVID-19.
The coronavirus.
COVID-19.
The apocalypse.
Well, most of us have never lived through anything like this.
No one is immune. It threatens all of us.
We're going to a different place. Which is a new normal.
A new normal.
A new normal.
A new normal.
A dinner where your temperature is checked before you walk in.
A new normal.
New normal.
Embrace the new normals of social distancing and sheltering in place, all the physical isolation.
The new normal.
The new normal.
When we get out of the new normal and get to a new normal.
The new normal. This is the new normal.
If you want to go to a restaurant, you're going to have your temperature taken before you're allowed inside to dine. So that's just the new normal.
New normal.
This new normal is going to look very, very different.
Not normal, but a new normal.
Long lines for food becoming a new normal.
The new normal.
New normal. There will be a new normal.
A new normal.
New normal.
A new normal.
The new normal.
A new normal.
This is the new normal.
This is our new normal.
Our new normal.
A new normal.
Our new normal.
New normal.
The new normal.
Our new normal.
We will transition into the new normal.
And this new normal is just the normal of future generations.
All of us should be able to name all the people we've been in close contact with over the last 2 weeks as a new normal.
Our new normal.
The new normal.
Our new normal.
Our lives will never be the same.
The new normal.
This new normal.
I think everyone's life is completely disrupted. You know, your normal pattern of go to meetings, watch sports events,
and no normalcy as we knew it.
This is not going to go away anytime soon.
This will be the new normal until a vaccine is developed.
The vaccine.
Vaccine.
A vaccine.
The vaccine for this terrible virus.
An amazing vaccine to the entire world.
The world awaits a vaccine.
The vaccine.
The vaccines.
The thing that'll get us back is the vaccine.
Until we have a vaccine.
Zero tolerance. So every time we see a case, we basically pounce on it.
The vaccine.
The vaccine.
The vaccine.
The vaccine.
To all 7 billion people.
Almost every expert agrees a vaccine is the fastest way to get our world back.
You know, it's so important to get not just hundreds of millions, but literally billions of those vaccines.
Legislative amendments that would make vaccinations mandatory for public school students unless they have a medical exemption.
The vaccine is the thing that will change things.
It's a vaccine.
It's a vaccine.
A vaccination.
A COVID-19 vaccine.
A vaccine.
Vaccine.
A vaccine.
The vaccine is critical, very broad vaccination.
Vaccine.
A vaccine.
The vaccine.
On the issue of the vaccine, which you've said in the past could take a year to 18 months, will we have to wait for a vaccine to hug our family and friends who are outside of our bubble?
Jesus Christ.
A vaccine.
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 Who's a recovered person? Who's a vaccinated person? Because you don't want people moving around the world.
So eventually there will be sort of this digital immunity proof that, you know, will help facilitate the global reopening up.
Zero tolerance.
The RFID microchip.
Apple and Google announced new technology that could help. Phones ping other phones around them with their location.
In Hangzhou, to enter a tower block, you need to have your temperature taken and registered. And you must have an app on your phone, into which you input your name, temperature, recent travel, and ID number. The information generates a color code.
Our new normal.
A new normal.
Our new normal.
New normal.
The new normal.
Our new normal.
When you were talking about the phases, the semi-normal phase that you spoke of, that sounded like months and months of that. If a vaccine is still not until 2021, that's many, many months of this new normal.
That's right.
A new normal.
New normal.
A new normal.
The new normal.
A new normal.
This is the new normal.
This is our new normal.
An invisible enemy. Think of that.
Thank you.
Hey, Bill Gates.
He is such
a miserable prick, that guy. Oh, God.
Isn't the lesson television?
Hey, before we go
people
on.
Weren't watching, if people weren't watching their television, they wouldn't know any of this.
No.
Is that on youcancatchavirus.com?
you think that should
let's
be?
Let's do a big...
Yes.
Let's do a big shout-out to... Yeah, PK edited that together.
He got it from L.A. Methwich.
Is that L.A.
Methwich? L.A. Methwich, whoever that is.
And she is
well done.
Fantastic.
Well done, L.A. Methwich.
We'll have to subscribe to her as well. Let's see where she is.
Love it.
Oh, she's pretty big. Vegan drama, yeah.
Of course, the other stupid thing about this whole idea in terms of epidemiology is that what should be happening is that we should all be hugging, kissing, and licking each other. To get herd immunity.
Frank, I can't wait till you come lick Rick up in Port McCoy.
Because the whole thing is completely contrary to epidemiological theory of the last however long it is.
Frank, 100%. So basically, thank you, first of all, for kind of like planting that seed, but I like to distill things down to just some sound bites or sentences I can carry around in my head to be able to quickly share with people. So here's what I wrote down. It's just, you know, people are dying from mechanical respirators, not this virus. You cannot catch a virus. Go to youcannotcatchavirus.com. Get yourself a safe. But you can get a shot with a vaccine where they can implant the real virus. So ponder that.
Yeah, and the test is 88.8% fallible.
And that's good. Yeah. And Rick, did you? Sorry, Frank. Rick, did you say that you went because you? I mean, you work, and everyone was taking the flu shot.
No. I went to an office last Friday, and they said to me, and I said, "How come there's so many people been here?" And they said, "Oh, we all came in for the flu shot." I went, what flu shot? And they said, oh, we brought the nurse in to, you know, inject everybody. So everybody's in the office got the flu shot. Where they wanted it? It was voluntarily done, but most people were there to get it done.
You guys want to know something that will ultimately be illegal, but will make the point of the spear doctor, whoever does this, become a rich millionaire before they get sent to prison? I will tell you this. It's the doctor who becomes known for the provider of flu shots where at the last second he, with magician skill, transfers that vial that's the flu shot with a vial of water or whatever and shoots that into a person. I would pay that dude $200 for that shot.
Well, Ab said 500. Ab said 500. Didn't you, Ab? You said, was it $500?
I'd pay 500.
Yeah.
Yeah,
to take a saline
shot rather than the virus.
Or to put on a rubber
saline vaccinationist.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, hang on. The other problem about the vaccines is the irritant, the adjuvant that they're using.
You can actually use aluminium.
You can actually use mineral turpentine. It's a much better adjuvant, and it's not going to cause any of the difficulties that are going
Mate,
on.
I'd be happy if someone shoot up mineral turpentine into my arm. No problem whatsoever. It's good for you.
I drink this stuff all the time, Rick.
yeah, good on you, man.
Has anyone come across this particular thing where they say, oh, even if you collect, if you get the virus and you recover, you're not immune? Have you heard that yet? And so I say,
yeah,
that's
there's
true,
a lot of stuff like that. Yeah, I don't know.
If that's true, how does the
The adjutant you're talking about is thimerosal.
Thimerosal is aluminium, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
aluminium,
the latest thing is where they can actually give a kind of electric current at the same time they do this thing, and it imposes its activity even more fiercely.
Are you a doctor, Frank? Are you a doctor?
Yes, he is. I'll vouch for
him. Dr. Salt.
Dr. Salt. 100%.
You know, Dr. Love, for sure. But, the level of paradoxical thinking is reaching a new high for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I just got back from shift. I like that meme that someone made with the masks. And I said,
Tom Dalpra!
Whoa, it's Tom Dalpra.
Oh, yeah, funny. Are you bunch of convicts? How are you doing?
Good, right?
Domestic terrorists, I do like to call us. By the way, I found it. Heroes, I found audio chats on iTunes. I did put it there, but I'll have to figure out how I can link it to you. But it does exist.
When I open up on my iPhone, my podcast button, and I go to search, tell me what I should search for. I'll do it right now, just to make sure. I'll do it again. Fakeologist?
Just type audio chats.
5'8" yep. Long, slim.
It does exist.
Okay, so
this is no grinder. It's no grinder, mate.
Okay, so I typed in audio chats, but then it just takes me to things that are titled audio chats. So
I know I'm gonna have to. Okay,
but
click
but
it.
What do you call it? What do you call it?
It says audiochats-fakeologist.com. That's what it says.
I'm just going to type in fakeologist audio
chats.
Okay, chats, and no results.
Amazing. Well, I'm looking at it now, and it has been downloaded, but I don't know why you're not seeing it. That's disturbing.
Don't worry. I get it every. I got the second you uploaded Brian Stavely, the second you uploaded Pete from Brittany
Are
France,
you on Apple?
I got it straight away.
So you're on Apple?
No. I just check fakeologist.com every day.
Okay, so that doesn't help Heroes.
All you have to do is go to menu. Heroes, go to menu, audio chats, audio chat archives. It's right there. There's a whole list of everything.
No, I know. My mission, my goal is it'd be nice for it to just be part of my audio chats or my podcast.
It must be true that you're not getting it because there's very little downloads through Apple. So there's something wrong. And there you go. That's why I hate gatekeeping operations like Apple. That's why I don't use them. There are manual ways, of course, to easily download stuff, and I do it all the time. But I know most people don't do it. So
Apple is your enemy. I reckon.
Of course. So is Google. It's called shadow banning. I can show you the analytics for Apple. I'm on it now. But I agree that they can easily suppress it or ignore it. It's simple. Simple, Simon. Mm-hmm. That's why I have my own platform. And if you can figure out a way, Heroes, to download it, it's just you click the download button, have it come onto your Apple phone, and find it on your Apple phone, then you can play it. It's just the getting it off the download wherever it puts it on your phone and into your ears.
Here's my issue with that, just personal issue, is that when I do that, because of my dog, Zammy, and I do so much video work for his Instagram, is I'm like almost full all the time with my storage. And even though I pay $9.95 a month for 200 gig or whatever, it's just – so I just try to not download anything that's audio to my phone. But – we'll figure
you can
it
do
out.
It on Wi-Fi for free. But anyway, yeah, sorry to bore everyone with the tech.
No, it's okay. While we got Tom Dalbrey here, while we got
It's that.
Tommy.
Rolls, I'm just going to get a quick point out. Just thanking. It's that classic two-horse race, wasn't it? With Apple and with, of course, Bill Gates and Microsoft. That was that. They played us with that massive sort of.
Right.
And, you know, obviously, you sort of went over to the good one, was in quotes, was supposedly. It's a left-right paradigm sort of being played.
Sure.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I thought it was Vita and VHS.
Yeah. And look who won that race.
Bitcoin and then fucking just government invented money sort of thing.
Funny, okay.
I found the link. I'm going to put it in the show notes. Please look at the show notes for the Fakeologist podcast. See if that helps you. All I did is Google. See, Google is actually, unfortunately, still the best search engine. Actually, I use Quant, Q-W-A-N-T, which is not Google. And I found it. So here's the link. It is there. If you click that, see if it brings up your Apple Podcast app and just push it in there.
Bingo.
See if that works.
I just subscribed to it.
God bless.
Excellent.
So Apple's own search engine can't find it.
That's crazy.
That's the sad part. Yeah, it's
funny that.
Listen.
Funny that.
It's obviously deliberate. That is a deliberate thing because search engines are very easy to implement.
I reckon funny that is going to be one of your new catchphrases. Funny that.
Funny that. Funny that.
Yeah. So Tom.
Funny that.
So Tom, how's life? Do you still have to wear it? You have to wear a mask, don't you?
Yeah. Well, you could say yeah. I mean, it's slightly embarrassing now to even report that I'm a care worker in this environment. You know, it's almost like. On Thursdays, they're still clapping, but it's lost a bit of its luster.
Oh, my God.
But you only have to wear a mask because you're ugly, isn't it, Tom?
Well, fucking... I like the mystery that the mask brings. You know, I like my Muslim women.
Do you notice Tom did not take offense to that fatty Frank?
Don't take offense. I love you all.
He's gorgeous. How can you say that, Frank?
It's classic. I'm still wearing my PSYOP prop, but the completely irrelevant and useless mask wouldn't stop a virus or anything particularly really at all.
No, it definitely won't stop a virus, guaranteed. No, okay.
Hang on, I think anything stops a virus, doesn't it?
Just common sense.
Hey, Tom, I'll have to get that, with you young... Del Croix had a copy of the album. What was it in the mid-80s, that album? Looking so young. Worth a Photoshop a mask on you.
Oh, God. It was a song called And in England, They're Going Mental. People have been posting that back to me since this pandemic. You know, it's got a little bit of... I've never heard so many people talking about it back to me, you know. I said, well, yeah, it was like a news report, including the line, in France, they're drinking in wine bars. In Hiroshima, about 40 years ago, a bomb was dropped and a man was seriously injured. In England...
Fantastic song. Hey, actually, yeah. We should play that now. What was the name of your band again?
That's noisy.
Hold on. If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. Okay, I've just uploaded on the fly. And by the way, the streaming software to YouTube, I just stopped it. It does bring my system to its knees. And that's why I get all the choppiness. This should play now quite nicely. Let's see. See if this comes through. This should play pretty good now. Is that coming through, guys?
Yep, perfect.
Without choppiness. Unfortunately, it's the streaming software that just kills everything. Let me just play a bit of this. Okay, well, I'll play it at the end. Actually, you know, I'll play it now. Have a listen.
I wear my face mask in my car so I can. Virtue signal in my neighborhood.
Oh, God, that's beautiful.
Oh, this is good.
Can you put that in the show notes?
I wear my face mask when I walk so I can.
Make sure they all know I'm really smart.
Keep your distance.
While they're deceiving me, it cuts my immunity. TV's got control of me. I turn it on, they say.
But this is not over yet.
Don't talk to man with the orange skin, oh no.
It comes from China. There has to be some form of punishment.
Don't mess around with the CDC numbers. Oh no, I can't believe it. We gotta make him a billionaire, oh yeah.
And then the final solution, which is a year to 2 years off, is the vaccine.
I wear my face mask in my house so I can stop a symptomatic disease spread to myself. And I wear my face mask when I bike so I can placate all the Karens at the park. Who is deceiving me? Trade freedom for security. TV's got control of me. I turn it on, they say. Don't take it off till the vaccine's here, oh no. Get microchipped and go back to work, oh yeah. Oh no, I can't believe it. Not just a nerd, he's like a doctor too, oh yeah. The contact trace is knocking at my door, oh no. I'm just stumbling.
Tom Dalper on the synth.
The video is fantastic.
Yeah, man.
The guy did a fantastic job. I'll put it in the show notes.
Great.
There's a bit more to it.
I wear my face mask in the bar. I wear my face mask when I walk. I wear my face mask in my bed. I wear my face mask when I
roll eat. Like that.
I wear my face mask when I sleep. I wear my face mask, I can't breathe.
This is a 10 out of 10.
It is
okay, Tom. Hey, dude.
There's
Tom.
An end to it. Wait, there's an end to it.
Yep.
Is there? Oh, maybe not. It's visual.
Hey, Tom. Well, that well done on the Yamaha there, mate.
Oh, my God. That was good.
Yeah. That's linked. That is Media Bear on YouTube. Media Bear, B-E-A-R. Take a look. It's called I Wear My Face Mask in the Car. He said he did not sample Corey Hart's Sunglasses at Night song. He generated all of that from his synth himself. So as to
well
not...
Done.
Anyway,
yeah,
very
that
good.
Was not me. Yeah, that was excellent, and not my style at all.
No, I was bullshitting. I was bullshitting, Tom. Yeah.
Roll over.
Yeah, you've got true talent. You got true talent on the synth, but So Corey Hart.
It's great.
God, that was so good.
It is a great damn. I needed a laugh. You know, I appreciate that.
Well, you come here for laughs.
The Fakeologist Australian Roundtable. If you can't laugh at this thing. You're only going to cry, so you might as well have a laugh.
It's absurd.
I've placed my favorite ad in the show notes. Can someone please play it?
Let's have a listen.
In the show notes.
Go, Tom. Just a little fact. I was looking at the Great Plague of London, which was 1666.
Yeah.
It happened within the centuries-long second pandemic. A period of intermittent bubonic plague epidemics, which originated from Central Asia in 1331, first year of the Black Death. I mean, this stuff's been going on for fucking ever, hasn't it?
Well, I mean...
Frank, you want to hear your ad?
Yeah, please.
It's coming through.
Mm-hmm.
first, only gays and IV drug users were being killed by AIDS. But now we know every one of us could be devastated by it. The fact is, over 50,000 men, women, and children now carry the AIDS virus. That in 3 years, nearly 2,000 of us will be dead. That is not stopped. It could kill more Australians than World War II. But AIDS can be stopped, and you can help stop it. If you have sex, have just one safe partner, or always use condoms. Always.
Well, that was scary. Thank you for scaring the hell out of us.
What puzzles me? What puzzles me is.
Okay, yes, go ahead.
What puzzles me is that when I talk to my friends and acquaintances about this thing and I say, what happened to AIDS? It's just
and
a
Ebola,
blank
and
face.
SARS, and
yeah,
Zika,
H1N1,
and bird flu.
But the AIDS had the big advertising campaign and the...
That won awards, Frank.
Frank, it's that quite obvious what happened to AIDS. Everyone stopped being gay that was gay. That's it.
or the one I got told was, oh, that's because we listened and we did everything right.
Right. But the virus, or but the vaccine, when is Bill Gates coming out with a vaccine for that?
When's Bill Gates coming out of the closet?
Good
like
point.
A transgender, like as a, you know, like he's born a female. I saw the vid, and Melinda Gates. That's a guy. That's a dude, man.
It does look like a guy. Well done.
It does look, and it does look like Robin Williams, as someone pointed out.
Yeah,
that was terrific. I'm with. I just thought, okay. That is certainly not the most improbable one I'm an adherent to.
Well, this is. I'm going to have to scoot, but this has been an awesome chat with you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, you guys are great. I'm going to have to get my breakfast too because I got to shove off, but I might come back on the mobile as I run around town doing my thing. What is this one that LA Meth
people
made?
Dying of COVID. So the case definition is very simplistic. It means at the time of death, it was a COVID positive diagnosis. So that means that if you were in hospice and had already been given, you know, a few weeks to live, and then you also were found to have COVID, that would be counted as a COVID death. It means that if even if you died of a clear alternate cause, but you had COVID at the same time, it's still listed as a COVID death. So everyone who's listed as a COVID death doesn't mean that that was the cause of the death, but they had COVID at the time of death. I hope that's helpful.
Say that again.
Everyone who's listed as a COVID death doesn't mean that that was the cause of the death, but they had COVID at the time of death. Everyone who's listed as a COVID death doesn't mean that that was the cause of the death, but they had COVID at the time of death.
There are other countries that if you had a pre-existing condition, and let's say the virus caused you to go to the ICU and then have a heart or kidney problem, some countries are recording that as a heart issue or a kidney issue and not a COVID-19 death. Right now, we're still recording it, and the great thing about having forms that come in and a form that has the ability to mark it as COVID-19 infection, the intent is right now that those, if someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that.
Say that again.
If someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that. If someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that.
I'm counting on you.
Orders from the top. Everyone dying today died from coronavirus. Oh, man, what a crazy mixed up world we live in. It's just unbelievable. I got to post that on FakeTube as well. That was, I believe, a PK creation that was actually mirrored on PK is doing the good work. That has 250,000 views.
Hey, Ab, do you want to laugh?
That's
fantastic. Do you want to laugh? Here's a laugh. Here's a laugh. Now, go to YouTube. Look
no, here's
up Ryan
laugh.
George.
No, here's a laugh. No, here's a laugh. No, here's a laugh.
Oh!
What happened to Ashley?
Well done.
Is she a victim of COVID or not?
I hope not.
The agent of COVID.
Here we go, Ab. Here's a laugh. Here's a laugh. Look
too
up.
Too sweet.
Lovely. Yeah.
She is. Ashika.
Best wishes.
She's a sweetheart.
Yeah, there.
She is a sweetheart. Okay, Ab, before you go, look up Ryan George, RyanGeorg.
Where am I looking it up, my friend?
On YouTube.
Ryan George, okay.
Ryan George and his latest video, and play that. This will give everyone a laugh. I guarantee.
Who is he? Can you give us some background?
He's a comedian. He's an American comedian, and he talks to himself. And
we live in
wonderful.
The dumbest timeline. Three
yes,
minutes.
Yes, that's the one.
Seconds.
Yeah, please.
Do I need to subscribe to this guy?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi there, hello, welcome. Good to have you here with us.
Hello. Hi, what is this aliens?
It's not aliens, no, you're the latest guest on The Dumbest Timelines, everybody's favorite show where we have versions of us from dumb alternate timelines and our players try to guess what kind of dumb stuff is going on within them.
Okay, yeah, this may as well happen.
Today is a special treat. Our guest is actually from The Dumbest Timeline there is.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
That's where I'm from?
That is you, yeah. Tell us, how does it feel to learn that your timeline is the dumbest of them all?
I mean, to be honest, I think a lot of us kind of pieced that together.
Well, you heard it, folks. Some surprising self-awareness from Dum Dum over here. All right, first question for our players. Why is this dumb version of us wearing a surgical mask? Yes, he's a doctor. No, although they do have doctors in this timeline, this dummy here is not one of them. Yes, some kind of weird fashion thing. No, I'm sorry, that is incorrect, dummy guy. Do you want to tell them why you're wearing a mask?
Well, there's like a pandemic going on, so we're supposed to wear these to kind of avoid speaking, moistly.
That's right, a global pandemic going on in this timeline.
We should have known it had something to do with bad hygiene, I guess.
Yeah. Next question. The makers of popular disinfectant brands in this timeline had to rush to make public statements telling people this. To properly disinfect all surfaces in their homes. Sorry, now we're looking for an urgent statement they may have made.
To, not inject their product?
That is correct.
Oh my god.
Seriously?
Some people thought it might help, I don't know.
The dumbest timeline.
I mean, it's dumber than I thought it would be. You guys have it rough.
Yeah.
Okay, no, moving on. Okay.
What basic anti-pandemic measure are people in this timeline struggling with?
Yes, avoiding teleportation so the conduits stay sterile. No, that is incorrect.
Yeah, we don't have that.
Seriously, you guys haven't figured that out yet? It's the easiest thing. You just
No, don't tell them. Don't tell them.
I mean, if it's simple, you could tell me. That sounds really useful.
I'm sorry. No, they're right. It's funnier if I don't tell you.
Okay.
So I'm gonna guess that they can't like stay in their homes.
Correct?
Seriously? I was joking.
Well, I mean, people really want to get back to work. You know, you have beach parties and haircuts.
But the result of that could be death.
Well, I mean, it's pretty much just old people that are dying, you know, and people with pre-existing health conditions, so.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a compelling argument now that I say it out loud.
Okay, I have a question. Is being dumb the same thing as being evil in this timeline?
Or? I'm kind of unclear, but they seem to kind of unknowingly go hand in hand a lot.
Look, I'm sorry. It's tough, alright? A lot of us feel invincible to the pandemic, but you could still be a carrier even if you don't show symptoms, and sometimes if you do get symptoms, you only get them days after being infected, so.
Is that, I don't know.
Here you go.
Is that funny?
Okay, we should probably get him out of here.
Yeah, this was a bad idea.
Oh, okay, are we done already? Okay, how do I know this is my timeline?
Okay, yeah, this is it.
I don't know.
Okay. Little bad Rod,
do you like that? That's all right.
Yeah, I did.
And by the way, do you all realize this is the first time ever that healthy people have been quarantined?
Yeah.
Well done.
Yes, we've heard that too. Yeah. All.
Oh, you knew that.
All inverted. Yeah, I've heard that quite a few times.
Oh, to bring the mood down, Frank.
Yeah, nothing funny about that, Frank. You want to keep it funny, mate. Bring the funny.
All right. Well, I'm going to just listen in. Thanks, everyone, for joining. We're on the audio chat live stream. We've got Announce Assault, Exoteric, Golden Skidmark, Rolo, Tom D, I'm going to sign out. I got to get moving. It's morning time and the sun is up. And mask up, boys, mask up.
Go out driving.
And Ab, before you go, there's one thing I have to draw to your attention about your favorite Seventh-day Adventist.
Oh, Walter Weiss?
He has realized that while this has all been going on, Sunday shopping has been banned around the world.
Has it been banned here in Canada? I don't think so.
I don't think so, nor in Australia yet, but quite a lot of countries, including Poland and...
Is this a Jesuit plot?
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting, isn't it, that his idea that Mark of the Beast will be Sunday worship, mandatory Sunday worship instead of Saturday worship.
Interesting, yeah. Catholic countries, we'll have to check if the Catholic
which
countries.
Is against the Seventh-day Adventists. They're the only people that want
well, the
stick
idea,
to the main... Yeah.
Yeah, well, the idea is, Walter Veith's idea is that, the seventh day is when we should have the Sabbath to stick with the Bible. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of well documented that the Catholic Church has said, look, we're the guys that introduced Sunday worship anyway, and the fact that you will follow us is, it's your problem.
Right. Okay. Thank you for that. I'll look into it. And I haven't been listening to all his stuff because he doesn't acknowledge this as a hoax. He's really looking at this as the end times, but Mark of the Beast.
Oh, no. I think he implies that it's a hoax. He's trying to keep himself.
He can't say it.
He may be able to say it, but I get the feeling he just, rather than make claims, he just sticks with the facts, I guess, rather than make conjecture.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all we ever do here.
Of course.
About facts. Factologist.com.
Just stick with the facts.
All right, guys. I got to go have my second breakfast
fuck
now.
Off.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Well, bitches. So where am I? In Sydney or Newcastle? I do apologize for being crude last
week. He left.
He left.
Go, Ben.
He left for some. He left. He did go. He did go and take his breakfast.
He's gone. Sorry, I couldn't see on my screen. Yeah, he has gone. Yeah.
So yeah. Tom, yeah. So everything's cool over there. How are we going to do social distancing when I come and see your band? I'm going to social distance in the mosh pit. How do you social distance in a mosh pit?
Yeah, I mean, I think we had this conversation last time we spoke, didn't we? But I mean, when are crowds going to get back together again? Are crowds going to happen very quickly? They can mosh
when we're
around.
All jabbed. When we're all jabbed.
I can't believe it. I can't believe that. I can't pull that off.
I think the purpose is to just completely
demoralize us.
Demoralize everything. Yeah, I just don't see it being anything.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hey, this is Ophalus from the United States, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Big shout out to Ophalus.
Now, I've got to assume that Ophalus is obviously making a play on the word phallus. Is that correct?
Of course. So if we had to take... Frank, if we go to how to take care of your penis .wordpress.com. Do we find any new COVID information there?
No new COVID information really at all. Okay. I've just kind
you
of
grab a couple nothing, of newspapers.
I guess the things I've written there will work for any of these things. You know, pray, get plenty of sunshine, salt.
Sure.
Zinc tablets.
Salt. Yep. You know. So we still got Rick, are you still there? Nope. Maybe he left. What about Golden Skidmark? You still with us? Nope.
No, I'm still here. I'm having bad audio issues at the moment. I don't know if you can tell.
Okay, give us some noises news. No, you're perfect at the moment. Give us some noises news. Yeah, come on. Do it, brother.
Anything you want. New York used to be called New Amsterdam, I think, didn't it, at first?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then they changed it to New York, and then they just moved in on it, and just it's we've already said it, and that's where all the deaths are. I guess that's the Jews. Yeah.
I think they're a part of, I think they're a big part of this. Yeah, a big part of this.
Come on. Let's be serious.
I am.
Sure. I blame the Jesuits for everything. What's going on with this?
Oh, yeah. It's one of the J's.
I've even seen, like, a rabbi this a few weeks ago just saying, look, guys, this coronavirus, it's not for the Jews. He's talking to the Jew, you know, all his followers. Yeah. It's not for the Jews. It's for the Goyim. It's not for you guys. It's for the Goyim, you know. It's actually, yeah, so, like, and they're always...
Come on.
That's pretty straightforward.
Guys, I have to jump out. It's time for me. So have a nice conversation, and I will be mindful of stopping Craig when no one is in the room. Have a nice day, everyone. Have a nice night. Bye bye.
Good night. All right, keep going, big fella. Yeah, how tall are you? You're tall. You're like 6'5". Jason Statham, I call you. You're a classic when you came to my place. Do you know how tall Frank is?
I don't know. How tall is Frank?
It's like 5'0". He's wider than he is tall.
I'm 6 foot tall exactly.
There you go.
He's a classic. Frank is so lovely.
I'm just too good to be true.
Right underground and short in the air. Said, yeah.
But back to the Bill Gates, and is it Melinda or Belinda? I can't remember. Anyway, she should be called Bill. Honestly, I saw this. I know Tom. I was the same with you with this trans investigation thing, man. Seriously, every person I looked at, I was always just, are you really a female? Are you really a male? It was driving me insane. But I saw a couple of good vids on some trans investigations on Bill and Melinda Gates. And
it's very brave of you. Yeah, carry on. Carry on. This is brave. Share, brother. Share.
Yeah, it's terrible, mate. Seriously. Like, I mean, she's got arms like He-Man. Like, you know, it's...
I never said that it didn't exist for absolute certain. I'll take every case, individual case as it is, and I'll just call bullshit when I specifically see it, which is like definitely within that. It was an easy target for disinformation.
But
I mean, I'll have a look. You know, totally open-minded, and it's been done before, I'm sure, and it'll be done, I know, and it'll be done again, you know, done in athletics, you know, in public life, history, you know. So I wouldn't be, you know, we've been fooled before.
Yeah, well, I mean, she, honestly, the wife does really look like kind of, it looks like a Golda Meir, not so ugly, but still Golda Meir. Like,
favorite about Golda Meir is she looked like LBJ.
I think so, yeah. I looks like her brother, or, for sure. Yeah, or a sister, whatever you want to call it. I don't want to...
Oh, he was on LBJ. He was on the level, that guy. Oh, yeah.
Was he?
He's LBJ.
He was a fuckhead. Like, dude, he died. Apparently he died insane or something, or he committed suicide. Oh, I don't know. He had a lot of demons, that guy, and so he should. Terrible guy.
But JFK, you know, he could have saved him as only the CIA hadn't killed him. Is that right?
I tell you what, I spent my years looking at trying to work that out. Yeah, that thing. But I tell you, the funnest times, if funnest is actually a word, is when you came over here from Western Australia to Newcastle. And you on acid, and I was looking at Velocet going, who the fuck have I let into my house? I'm just going, who the fuck have I let into my house? And you turned out to be one of the greatest guys I've ever met. Well done.
Yeah, I'm pretty safe on that stuff with other people.
Like, yeah, you were fine. You were just a little bit touchy-feely, but that was fine.
So how do you feel about having now been... exposed to the federal police and admitting to a crime on television.
Is it a crime?
Who? What's a crime?
To speak the truth, like it is New York. What are you talking about?
I'm not talking about that.
Is it a crime to
It's a crime to have pancakes. There's no question. That's the problem.
So is there a big Jewish population or something from England, actually?
Is New York full of Jews? Man, it's LA, New York, and I think Florida was the other big one. They all go there for retirement.
Operation Paperclip.
No, but the Jews are special, just like the Jesuits are special. Do you know what I mean? They're groups and they have their own influence, and you can identify.
Hey, Tom. They're special. They're special.
Well, exactly.
Cuomo. Who do you think will be the next president after? How are the people going to line up with social distancing to vote this year in 2020? Are you going to line up to go into a booth? What are they going to swab it all down?
No, they'll just say, because of COVID, you can't vote. No elections.
No. Apparently, I think the Democrats are really pushing for mail.
I'm talking about in Australia.
Oh, in Australia. Oh.
Okay. Who are we voting for? Well, ScoMo, I don't even know who the opposition leader is. Who's the opposition leader to ScoMo? I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know.
I'm going to register a political party and call for candidates that want to reverse every single law we've got.
Reverse them all.
Just reverse the lot.
Good luck with that.
Trash them.
It just isn't a single law that's worth.
Except natural law. Yeah, natural law.
Be kind to one another. You know.
Look, that's W. Bush Sr. He didn't like the law of the jungle in his speech.
Hang on. You know that George Bush has brought into being Noahide law?
Noahide law.
You don't know about that. That's all been signed into existence.
I tell you what. When it comes to politicians, Goldie, the last fart podcast we did, when you played that Democrat senator, when he goes, oh, yeah, they're dying of suicide, he made that joke. And I kind of went, I shook my head. My eyes rolled back so far in my head, I could see my own brain.
Yeah, it's terrible, man. They love it. It's actually a win for these guys when a white guy pulls the trigger on himself. They love it. That's a win for them.
Mm. Yeah. I know. I don't want to bring the mood down, but you're right, though. I mean,
and all this shit that they're doing, it's just once again, it's just like a friend of mine just went to the supermarket, just the shopping center, and went to a clothing store and wanted to try on some garments, mm-hmm. and the security guard said, no, you're not allowed into the changing room. Why not? I've got to try it on to see if I like it. No, you have to purchase it. And try it on at home. If you don't like it, keep the receipt and then bring it back. That's the rule now.
Oh, Lord.
I know.
Because of COVID,
it's more torture. This is just going to drive us more and more insane until we eventually all just go, oh, fuck this, and just bang, see you later. And
that's I'm listening to you. But then when the economy starts collapsing, do you think the economy is going to collapse here?
So the public transport systems of Victoria and New South Wales in particular are going to go exactly the same way that the Met's gone in the UK. They'll be hemorrhaging money at a phenomenal rate. And it'll all be revealed, you know, when the time's right. But, you know, our states are bankrupt and we have to sell everything off to China. Because, you know, the Victorian government's done a whole lot of deals with China that they fund.
Oh, yeah, Dan Andrews. Is it Dan Andrews?
Yeah, they funded a whole lot of infrastructure, and if we can't pay, the Chinese take it over. And, of course, you know what's going to happen. It's the whole lot's – it's all – the reason that you can see all the public utilities, the publicly-owned stuff, like the rails, it's just going to be a total cluster.
Lots of fuck, yeah.
It's, you know, as soon as they pulled the trigger on this thing, that was the end. If people think...
Yeah, they showed their hand. It's like a lay down there. We,
you play 500, right? Yeah, they showed their hand. We can see it, but most people can't. That Heroes guy that was, good luck to him. And, I appreciate him. And I normally would talk over people, but he's a patron to Ab's site, and that's why I'm very, very lenient with him, you know. And plus he seems to want solutions. So I don't know, I haven't listened to hoaxsyndicate.com. Hopefully they're Marcus Allen and our mate Belisette are doing great jobs over there, doing great stuff. But
this
look,
deal
I'll
is
tell
done.
You one.
This deal is
yeah,
done.
Yeah. Yeah, look, dude. No, well, they're showing their hand. And, look... all I see today, I'll give you, Frank, this. I'll tell you this. I saw today, I was watching the news, and they're just kids on TV reading COVID this, COVID that. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about. They don't. And the most beautiful thing, and I'll say it again, was Ab interviewing that guy, Sharp Sticks, or what was his handle? Peter from Brittany, France, a 75-year-old gentleman. He was the nicest guy. It's the best audio chat I've listened to. Sorry, Brian Stavely, but it was better than Brian Stavely. But he's older than Brian. And, he just someone who gets it all. And but he's in his, as Ab said, he's in his twilight years. I don't know. He's 75. You know, you might have another 20 years. I don't know. My mum died at 72. So, and how old are you? You're in your 60s, Frank, aren't you? Or...
I'm going to be 61 soon. Look out.
61. Yeah. 61 today. 61 today. 61. I'm so sorry that you've lost your karaoke, and I hope that you'll get that back.
It's
that makes you so happy.
It simply is no greater crime, really.
What running a karaoke? Karaoke?
Taking people's karaoke away from them.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's despicable.
You know, if they want to know who's going to be first up against the wall, we're in the river.
What are you going to have to do? Are you going to have to swab the fucking microphone? You know,
well,
swab the mic.
That's what was happening at the very last karaoke session that I was at.
Oh, God, really?
At the Blue Moon.
The Blue Moon.
So what, they had to physically put sanitizer on the actual mic. Oh,
and you had a little condom to go over the microphone and everything like that.
Oh, God. It's these face masks. I mean, I'm a smoker. I'm going to light it up right now. If I had a face mask on now, how would I be able to smoke?
What's the answer?
Fuck it, because I've sung into microphones for years doing gigs and everything, and I run an open mic, and you've got a mic there, and you've got a whole room full of people, different one after the other, getting up and singing and spit. When you sing, you spit into the microphone. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, and we're the healthiest people on the planet as a result.
Exactly.
That's how herd immunity works.
Don't get the flu vaccine. No, I never get a cold. You know, it's,
You sound as healthy as ever, Tom. I watched the other day. What did I watch the other day? I love Sleaford Mods. Do you like Sleaford Mods?
Well, they're cool. Rick introduced me to them. He just played.
Oh, they're great, aren't they?
Yeah. I don't know my stuff. I don't know my contemporary music very well at all. I mean, my knowledge is just here, there, and everywhere. But yeah, loved it. I thought it was cool. It was straight.
You know,
level.
I tell you what, I've been playing nonstop, Tom, is War of the Worlds.
Jeff Wayne.
Nobody would believe at the beginning of the 21st century that Earth is being scrutinized by minds immeasurably superior to our own.
Exactly. Hey, Tom, have you got your Yamaha in front of you?
Against us.
Come on, give us the song.
Fantastic.
Frank, like, didn't you notice that Australian AIDS ad? Like, that was just a guy trying to sound like Richard Burton.
It was, exactly. He even said
sound like Richard Burton. Yeah.
Totally, mate.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because that was very ominous. That was my first album, War of the Worlds. I loved it, you know. But Richard Burton just owned it, and his voice was like, you know, it was just like War of the Worlds. And it scared the living shit out of pretty much everyone in Australia, including me. And the sales went to the roof.
It ruined. I thought you were talking about the AIDS ad that ruined my childhood.
About War of the Worlds.
You know, it
shows you the power of the music, and that narration as well is very powerful, isn't it? When you've got a really good voice, remember.
And slowly, Tom, and surely, they built their plans.
And now I know what the album was about. It was about today.
Yeah.
Is Jeff Wayne still with us?
Story of the Ages amplified. It's just so we can see it clearer. But yeah, we're in it like everyone else always has been for sort of years.
Yeah.
Do you remember what was my favorite part of War of the Worlds, the musical? It was like when he was trying to dig a hole or something, and be a prepper. What was the song? Come on, help me out, Frank.
Brave new world.
Oh, yeah, in a brave new world with just a handful of men. We'll start all over again.
Oh, dear. It's that David, thing, is the end times. David, I've heard that going around recently. The end times. So, how many times have you heard that, really, actually? You know, sorry, you're not getting me with that one. Big scare stories. What a load of bollocks.
It's lovely. It goes dun 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 dun. Oh, it's so good that. That's the early days of the.
The COVID has come down from Mars. The COVID has come down from Mars.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Once in a while, one of us wakes up. It's not supposed to happen, but it does.
And that little bit of jingle there was done by Velocet, so big shout out to Velo for that.
Yeah.
He's a good man.
How's it going with his Marcus Allen things?
Yeah, have you been...
Take two.
Have you been invited on the show yet?
No, I haven't. But I would happily go on. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'd happily. I'm rollover clown. Hey, do you want me to read some more of the newspapers? No, you don't. Oh, okay, I'll put it down then.
There's enough news readers like spinning that crap. We don't have to hear it anymore, please.
I do need to know, where is the world destruction atomic clock set to at the moment? How many minutes to midnight is it?
2 minutes to midnight to kill the unborn in the womb.
What the fuck?
That's Iron Maiden.
Fucking lovely. Oh, terrible taste in music you've got, although it's similar to mine.
What are you talking about? You're from Cambridge. I mean, you think you'd enjoy that? It's my brother.
That doesn't mean I respect and admire, actually, that Iron Maiden, that front man who's that pilot. I mean, I'm a front man and, yeah, very thick guy and impressive. They're a good, great band, but not
Yeah, Bruce Dickinson. Bruce Dickinson. Well, what a guy.
Yeah, we just heard from Heroes, his own brother tried to drown him. You can't trust your brother, mate.
Hey, you guys want to hear a story? My mother wanted to drown me at birth.
How strange.
My mother told me she was going to drown me at birth. I was an awful child. I was an awful childbirth. When my mother died a couple of years ago, she told me on her deathbed, yeah.
So how do you feel about that, brother?
Look, I'm okay. She equated me to Hitler. Hitler. She called me Hitler.
Did you sing the song, though,
Rollo? No, my mother was just a hard woman, and she didn't suffer.
Mr. Hitler, if you think
Dad's Army.
Mother
One of my favourite TV
we
shows.
We are the boys who will stop your little game. We are
we the boys who will make you think again.
So who do you think?
Kidding, Mr. Hitler.
If you think of England's done.
All right. Hey, Frank, what? A trivia question. Frank, a trivia question. Who sung that?
His name was it something Dunn, wasn't it?
Bud Flanagan. Flanagan and Allen. He died. He died 2 weeks after singing that song.
Oh, no.
No, I'm telling the truth.
His biggest hit ever.
Bud Flanagan. They were a duo called Flanagan and Allen. Go, Tom.
Yeah, what a gift to leave, you know what I mean, for his family, and hopefully someone would inherit a certain amount of royalties from that. So, Frank, it's not so bad, is it? It's that definitely something that lives on. And
oh, come on, that's a great song. That must be one of the best TV themes of all time, wouldn't it?
I think so.
Only getting performance royalties, probably. Someone else wrote it, but that's a corker. That's a classic, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's British PR as well, isn't it? Let's forget it. It's propaganda. It works.
It's for the Quinn.
Yes, it's charming.
The Harley Quinn.
Didn't lose me.
Classic.
Hey, how about this, Frank? Frank, do you know that Tom was closely associated with "I'm Walking on Sunshine"? Is Katrina and the Waves.
Really?
Do you not know that? Yeah, it's a bit old news to me.
Tell me everything.
Well, you don't need to know. There's not much to know. All right, so Kimberly Roo.
Because it is one of my favourite songs.
Really? Okay. Kimberly Roo, the guy who wrote that song, and in Katrina and the Waves, is a guy, and he is a Cambridge musician and a guy around here, and he was in a band called the Soft Boys, and then he went to Katrina and the Waves, he wrote that song. The Katrina and the Waves is a band of two American Air Force kids, and a British Admiral's son on drums, and then Kimberly on guitar. Kimberly was like a local whiz. He was at Cambridge University as well. He got there through his exams and stuff. Well, you know, I guess they all did. But Kim got there by, he came not directly from upper class, maybe. Yeah, as the others might, came from another class.
Yeah.
I'm waffling. But you get the picture. And yeah, he wrote that in 84. And it's kept them people happily. Given them a living for ever since, probably substantial. You can imagine a lot of money, but it's kept them all in work for the last since 1984, which is what 30-35 years. So and I'm not talking an inconsiderable wage as well. You know, decent money.
It is a crackerjack song though, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. He sold the rights to it for $10 million a couple of years back. That's just the rights to it.
Why did he sell the rights to it?
That's what they do these days, apparently. It's a way of cashing in, because otherwise you just have to do all the paperwork with people all the time coming, want to buy the license. That's how it works. You buy it to put it on an advert or something. So they're effectively an office taking sort of calls every day saying, can we pay you $8,000 to use it in an advert? And he would say yes, and, you know, Yes, and it got used on a daily basis all around the world every day. Phone calls like that were coming in.
And so he wrote that song, and basically his whole life is about that song now. Amazing.
It's beautiful.
They were a one-hit wonder. I mean, I just can't believe how good that song is. It's like it was used in Moon. What's his name? Sam Rockwell dancing around in the movie Moon to Walking on Sunshine. And every time I hear that song come on the radio, I think of you.
It's joyful, really, isn't it? Because it is one of those absolute, it's one of the top songs in the world for Roy.
It's a cracker.
I would say almost. It would be a song that would win the Eurovision Song Contest. If they put that in the Eurovision Song Contest, that would win easily.
Yeah, he shared the royalties with all the band, by the way, all four of them. That's typically Kim. He's a lovely man, a good guy. Mm. You know what I mean, much as, you know, you could say, well, to be such a big song, it must be agenda-driven. And you can say, well,
Alex is from the establishment. He's an admiral's son, you know. And then there's the two Air Force brats. You know, that fits well as a sort of Anglo-English liaison, you know, with military involvement. And then Kimberly, the superstar, the kid, this talented kid in there, worked really well. You know, you just see how they still work very hard on it, you know, and they were good.
Tom, can I get you to recount the story? You did leave. You left the band just before it became a hit. So you really you didn't see much.
Said that before. That's something that you dreamt and was never. I never said. Now I never was in the band. I was Kimberly's, but you know, a good friend of Kimberly's. I still am a good friend of Kimberly's, but I don't see him really much at the moment. How things are. But
sorry,
10 years we played snooker every week. We were snooker partners. We were in a band together for 10 years called The Lonely in Cambridge. He was in them at the same time he was in Katrina and the Waves, because they eventually did fuck all. You know, they could live on the money they had. So so he could be in another band. He had time.
All right, I'll never recount that story again.
And the song, when you think about the time it came out, it was out of nowhere because people weren't performing like that at the time.
Katrina was great, a great voice.
There was no one singing stuff like that when that came out. It was kind of, in my opinion, just out of nowhere.
It was a hit in Canada.
Can you think of any song before that came out that was in that style? Because I cannot think of a single thing that was. It was just from nowhere. As you say, it was kind of bouncy and, you know, really kind of twee. Great.
It starts off with the drums at the start, and there's a drum start, but that was actually originally on the play out. It was looped round to the start. It gives it that kind of energy. It wasn't until they did that with the drum, they got the drum, they looped it from the start, from the end, the start. It found this sort of energy. In the play out, Alex was playing really well and sort of really loose by that time and just relaxed at the end of the song, rocking out. Then by putting that end bit to the start, that really gave it the boost in, you know. Then the horns came in and it was a great record. Absolutely lifts and it lifts you. He rightfully should be proud of that. But it is that song, that's the one that brought them all the money, despite having a Eurovision Song Contest winner. I mean, that probably doesn't mean so much to you in Australia, but
I wouldn't have thought. I mean, most Eurovision song winners don't get the sort of boost that song got.
There's no money fucking in it these days, you know what I mean? Even that song brought them peanuts compared to what that, you know, nothing compared to Walking on Sunshine.
Yeah.
Well, Walking on Sunshine was nothing. You sound a little croaky tonight. Have you got Corona there?
If I had fucking smoke too much, sing too much, shout too much, I don't hydrate enough. I think I am always croaky.
I'm hydrating right now. What's in your hand, Tom? What's in your hand?
Microphone in one hand and the piano in another.
All right, come on, give us a song.
Is it a pretty good power for Saturday night?
You hear my voice, don't you? Oh, yeah.
That was one of your better What's in Your Hands, by the way.
Hey, Ab's back.
He's out on town. Yeah, exactly. You should wash your hands. You
come on, Tom. Come on, Tom. Give us the song.
You really want me to? Okay.
That's a pretty good power for Saturday here, Tom.
Tom, do you have a COVID song? You must have one by now. Everybody does.
God, yeah. I mean, I did try and put it in a song. It was like, it was a song called I'm Not Afraid. It's I'm Not Afraid of Nuclear War. It's just an old scare story. I've heard it before. I'm not afraid of COVID or AIDS. It's just, and then I got to further things where plans were laid. I'm not afraid.
Oh, I like it.
But, yeah.
And done to the tune of the Kinks?
Girl, you really got me now. That's Kinks, isn't it?
No, I was thinking more of
that.
I don't
want to live in this world no more.
I'm not afraid of nuclear war. Yeah, it's an old scare story and I heard it before. I'm not afraid of COVID or AIDS.
Just another thing where plans were laid. I'm not afraid of extinction. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, it's sort of right.
Keep going! Keep going!
It's definitely, I'm not afraid of, I'm thinking of the big scare stories, just the sort of things we talk about. You know, I'm not afraid of extinction, of, you know, they're always the big scare stories, nuclear war, that you're going to die, pandemics.
They don't even scare us with the nuclear war thing anymore, do they? That's just vanished.
It's old, yeah. Well, it's still there, though. People just take it as an accepted paradigm now, don't they? The prevailing view. They just know.
Well, they haven't had any proof that it exists lately. They haven't done anything. Well, they haven't done anything since the beginning, really.
No.
And LSD linked to the Alfred Hitchcock movie Notorious, which is way before my time, 1944, I believe, where he was talking in the movie, he detonated a nuclear bomb before they were invented. And he said he toured the lab and talked to the guy who was supposedly working on it, and he asked, is it possible? And the guy said, it's not only not possible, it's impossible. And then, of course, the next year, they blew up Nagasaki and Hiroshima. But the point is that Alfred Hitchcock had the, whatever he called it, the nuclear bomb in his movie Notorious. So there you go. Everything impossible is possible in Hollywood. And if you play that clip, which I cannot because I'm mobile now, Alfred Hitchcock basically explains how he researched that and where he went. He went to, I guess, the place where they invented the idea.
He went to
up in the concentration camps, and they got him to film all the footage, but apparently his footage wasn't scary enough. And so they got some other guy to do it.
Yeah, I mean, he was
that Alfred? Yeah. Alfred Hitchcock was involved in that? Wow, interesting.
Yeah, man.
For sure.
Alfred Hitchcock, was it Belson? Was it Belson? Yeah, making that
film. I think
film.
So, yeah.
They got him in. There was a big filmmaker in the States as well as in America. I can't think of him now, but definitely Alfred Hitchcock was an arch propagandist.
I think it was John Ford that did the final one.
Mm. He was more scary.
I think it was John Ford that did the final solution.
Hitchcock
like film. What a film.
Who needs sound
film.
Effects? Who needs sound effects when you got Rolo?
You can see that
thank you, mate.
From Belson.
That was so close to the original.
Oh, I thought you were doing Easy Rider, Rolo, at first.
I thought his bird landed on his head.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
How is that bird?
The bird's fine.
All right.
Birds. I don't know what it is about birds, but they're sort of magical to me. I love them.
Yeah, didn't Alfred Hitchcock do the film, The Birds?
Yeah.
With Lee Remick. Lee Remick.
If you listen to the interview I posted with Dick Cavett, who is one of the worst interviewers, he's one of the dullest shows. But he did an interview with Alfred Hitchcock, which I post on fakeologist.com/blog. And they asked Alfred, why didn't you use the birds to cover up the Golden Gate Bridge or something? I can't remember. I never watched the movie. But anyway, he was just saying it would be too many birds. And, of course, today he could have done it with CGI. But back in the day, they actually probably had to get the birds to do whatever they wanted.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he passed everything
he had on to Stanley Kubrick, and he made the moon landing.
Oh, what a guy. What a guy.
Right. So you're saying Alfred Hitchcock was one of the leading Hollywood propagandists for fear porn of his time?
For sure.
I guess
so. It's a fact. He was the guy that was supposed to do all the Holocaust propaganda once they got into the camps, and he did it. And apparently he just wasn't up to scratch, and so they canned him, and they got him to do something else and got someone else.
Wow. I didn't know that. I was aware that he was an arch propagandist, and he did do a film from Belson at the end of the Second World War. They sent him in. He may not have used his film. I could, thanks for that, but I'll have a look. But
yeah, well, that's what I heard, anyway.
You always got to take it with a pinch of salt. But anyway.
Sure. No, I have to check on that. Was it Danny someone here, the American guy? He's a famous film producer, but another very big name. I'll have to find it.
I'm pretty sure it was John Ford.
Well, he may well have done. I'm sure there was quite a lot of people involved. But
who was John Ford and what did he do? What was his...
John Ford, didn't he do the... It was all with the Pearl Harbor thing. I think he was associated with the Pearl Harbor, all that footage, which was really pretty looking fake. I don't know.
There's a wonderful... If you guys want to see Memory from the Camps, Memory from the Camps is a wonderful documentary. Even though it doesn't have the Auschwitz reel at the end, I think it's definitely worth a watch. Yeah, propaganda. I know. I know.
Who did it? Who wrote that? Who did that?
Memory from the Camps. I'll have to look it up, but again... It was original footage. It wasn't messed with, and you basically what it wasn't messed with.
Original footage. It wasn't messed with.
Rollo, give it up, mate. Like how much?
I'm not giving it up.
You can't go back on. Come on, you know. Let's be serious.
Look.
I'm
a big fan.
You can't catch a virus.com.
Oh, thank you, mate. Oh, hoaxsyndicate.com.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor who will get a shout out every time App does a show. Thank you for your support.
Okay, Ab, you used a band there called Rush. I'm going to do a trivia question. I'm going to ask Frank. Frank, name the three members of Rush.
No.
All right, I'm going to go to Golden Skidmark. Name the three members of Rush.
Wouldn't have a clue.
I'm going to ask Ab, a Canadian, because they're a Canadian band. Name the three members of Rush.
Well, it's Geddy Lee, and I'm trying to remember his real name right now. His real name, cannot quite remember it right now. And then there's Alex Lifeson. That's not his. That's not his real name. And Neil Peart, I think that's his real name, but I'm not certain.
Big money goes around the world.
No. Okay, Geddy Lee's name is Gary Weinrib. I don't want to trigger Golden Skidmark there.
Nice.
The thing that's on my mind again, I've just been looking at these very elaborate pictures of the COVID virus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Are you looking at the green one or the red one?
I like the red one.
I like the red one. Hey, Frank, did you ever take an orange? and poke it full of cloves?
Yes.
That's all I can think about is an orange with cloves. I can't remember why we did that. Was that just a sweet smelling thing?
If you do that, the thing shrinks down into a very small size. You can dehydrate the orange into a tiny. It's just a fun thing to do.
Is that right?
I just remember doing it, but I don't remember why I did it. I thought it was just because it smelled neat.
Oh, yeah,
but that's what it reminds me of. I can't stop thinking about an orange full of cloves with that image of the perfectly spherical COVID.
Yeah, maybe that's exactly what it is.
Well, I always thought it reminded me of the actual the sea mines in World War II and World War I, you know, those spiky mines that it was always floating around, always washed on the shore, you know.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Did they actually work?
Yeah, well, apparently they did. I mean,
they were for submarines, right?
No, they were for ships. They were just
for ships.
they're not supposed to float around. They drop them with a chain and a weight that would sit on the bottom, and they just sit there, kind of like, you know, just below sea level, so the ships would come in and hit them. And if they hit one of those cloves, that's it. See you later.
And so it was just a trigger. It was just a trigger. So
if the ship just had to touch it gently,
and it would blow up.
Yeah, it would blow up, and then, you'd have a bad day.
Yikes!
Yeah, I'd have a very bad day.
Yeah, I'd hate to have to lay one of those down and hit that trigger by accident. Wow.
Well, they were pretty sturdy. I mean, there was that Danger UXB. Wasn't there a one where one of those mines came off its chain and shit rocked up on the shore? I remember.
Yeah, that's right. I think that was an episode of. Was that Danger UXB or Dad's Army? But I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, it was some British. Yeah. British series.
I love Danger UXB. I love the opening theme tune for that song.
I can't believe I was old enough for that, because I was about 6 when that show came out.
Yeah, me too. I was about 10. You know, I can't believe you remember that.
Anthony Andrews. Anthony Andrews.
We must have got it.
Are you kidding? Rolo watches it today. That's a current show for Rolo.
I tried watching it. I only got through about the first or second episode
The first episode's called Dead Man's Boots.
Yeah.
Yeah, where he puts his ear next to the bomb and goes, "Boo!"
Yeah.
I'm sorry, spoilers, but yeah.
Oh, it was.
Oh, now I can't watch it. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Oh, you're right, Ab.
Damn.
Cold-blooded When it comes to Canadian
how
TV...
How is the COVID show, movie... How's the COVID movie going to end? Does anyone know?
Definitely with Sunday worship. Mandatory Sunday worship is what I'm going with.
All right. But how are you going to worship if you can't go to church?
Oh no, you'll be, because you'll all be intoxicated by then.
I think the new normal a bit more like that we're going to learn to distance ourselves from each other if someone just says we should, if it's flu season or something.
They're
changing the nature of our behaviour, daily life.
It's the new AIDS, Tom. We're not going to be able to do casual shagging anymore. That is over.
Well, you there goes your much, career there, hey, Frank. Tom, how much? Hey, Tom, how much casual shagging did you do back in the '80s?
It's to my shame. It's to my shame because I've
really a shag machine. It was a shag machine.
Even honesty and fidelity with, you know, honesty with your friend, everyone, always. But of course,
with a face like yours, Tom, I can't believe you didn't do 3 chicks a night.
Didn't
he
do that.
He was a lead singer.
Who said he did
a lover boy. I'm a lover boy. Okay, so I'm 20 years old. I've got a 15-year-old girl. She's run away from home and she wants to come with me on tour for the weekend. Okay, what do I do? What does Tom do? Gets her and he snuggles her up like a teddy bear and everything gets in her knickers and he cuddles her all weekend. And it's fucking great. I love it. She's so cute and lovely.
Oh, you're such a lovely guy.
Yeah, well, I did that, man, and I'm proud of that.
Do you remember when I was over with Delphi?
And then when she turned 16, what happened?
Fuck
you, Brian. What happened when she turned 16? Game over.
I was waiting for you to say, oh, yeah, but the downside was the drummer ended up shagging her the next day.
Oh, you believe me, man. Believe me, that's the truth, dude.
You can't give the punchline to a good story like that.
The punchline, when I got home, the drummer said to me, "Oh, you know your girlfriend from that thing." I said, "Yeah." He said, "I have my hands down her fucking knickers on the way."
That's what I mean. I knew it. It always happens like that.
So then you slugged them. Animals, you knocked them out cold. Animals.
I tell you, Tom. When I was in Ireland with Delphi, and Delphi bought that album of yours. What was the name of the band? For some reason,
Nutmeg.
I've got a brain fart.
How much did you make
Nutmeg
on that?
Yeah, you're Nutmeg.
And I was kissing. I was kissing you, hey, Tom. I was kissing your. I loved it. I loved the picture that they got of me.
Hey, Rollo, where is Del Cuar? You guys are best buddies. Why isn't he back? Is he okay?
We had a falling out. We had a falling out because...
that was a long time ago.
The girl from Liverpool, Rachel. Yeah, what was it? What did I said something stupid. And the fellow from up in Manchester, Denny.
Hi, Denny.
Yeah, and for some reason they turned on me. They just turned on me,
it happens a lot. Like, you went to South America, and what did the host turn on you as well?
Yeah, so Gaia. What's the go there?
He turned on you, didn't he?
He did, Gaia. Yeah, I turned on him too.
I don't think ganging up is appropriate. We don't endorse that, do we, Tim, here at Fakeologist?
I just want to know what happened to Del Cuar. He's a great guy. I enjoyed him.
Yeah, me too. I spoke to him briefly
about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Did you meet him? I've never met him, but I spoke to him briefly. I talk to him on Skype every now and then.
So he's still alive, so that's a good thing.
Good to hear. Yeah,
what did he say, Frank?
He was just, lying low. He's been a bit crook.
Yeah.
So when I heard the COVID thing.
No, he's just...
When I heard Chris Kendall died, that was the only reason I came back. Because that was... He is a legend. Absolutely correct. And exactly the same. And I put Chris Kendall and Del Cuar in the same book. Gaia. Gaia betrayed me, that bastard. But then anyway, there you go. We don't need to go over that again.
Hold on.
Let's Frank tell us what Del Cuar said now.
No, that's all I've got. I'm supposed to have a conversation with him. For some reason he didn't call when he was going to call, and then when he did call, I wasn't free, and that's all. But well, I'll try and catch up with him again soon.
All right, Del Cuar, if you're listening, come back. We'd like to hear from you.
Now, what was the name of his radio station? Was called
A View from the Fog.
Thanks for that.
Adele Boy.
Yeah, we need an Irish reporter. What about P. Shea? That was another good guy.
I wonder where... he had a lovely voice, didn't he?
And he put out a lot of channels, a lot of videos on his own YouTube channel. He did a lot of talks on Lewis Carroll's book, Alice in Wonderland.
Pretty good punch. What did he say? Yeah.
Oh, he just said how the Lewis Carroll books have a lot of keys to the way the world works, a lot of clues to what our reality is.
Speaking of keys, Skeleton Key by Calcified Lies, I noticed Calcified Lies has woken back up now that COVID started, so I've got 5 audios from his YouTube channel that I'm going to have to start listening to. He's a very smart guy who does not like Fakeologists at all.
I think that's Marcus Allen.
No way. No offense to Marcus, but Calcified Lies is way too smart. Smarter than me, too.
Calcified Lies.
No, he's smarter than me, too. He's a very smart guy. His name is Steve, allegedly.
Basically, you saw his video because you actually posted it on your site, Tim, but he sees a sort of disinformation network, really, and which that Fakeologist is part of. And it kind of is in a way, but that is what alternative research is almost, isn't it? You can't avoid it. If you post any stuff off the web about alternative things, half of it is controlled. It doesn't mean it's not good. It's the only place you can learn that information.
I'm controlled, but I'm not controlled enough.
Well, good. I think that's...
Careful what you say.
I'm controlled by golden skid mark.
You are feeling... Are you feeling sleepy, eh? You
chill bastard.
Oh, yeah, I'm a bomby bastard chill. I do shill for fakery. I will shill for fakery.
I shill for salt.
That you do.
anywhere you look at anything, you have to use your own mind, and you have to always still focus on a clear picture. Whatever you're looking at, it could be sure.
Hey, Nutsmeg. You know, we all shill for something in something in our lives, even if it's just to get our little voice out there just for a little bit. That's all we do.
Cannot help but shill if you're in society, can you? It's like you have to if you're in the bloodstream there.
The second you open your mouth, you're shilling for yourself.
There's no such thing as society. It's just men and women.
Goldie, where are the word chill?
I'm just COVID gonna end everybody. Let's go back to that topic.
A verb, and
that's shrill.
Are you shrilling? Are you?
A bird is shrill or loud. But how is COVID gonna end everybody? How are we gonna fly on a plane when we have to socially distance?
I've got a feeling like it's just like the war on terror. It's never gonna end. It's just endless.
That is a given. That is a given. Yeah. That is no doubt. No doubt on that. But they're never gonna. Do you think they'll find a vaccine, or it'll just keep coming? It'll just be being pushed off.
It's just they're gonna keep trying to find this vaccine for something that they actually haven't found themselves, or that just it doesn't exist. So.
It's a
never-ending story, yeah.
Like, I think the
will people be lining up for the microchip that they say can be delivered through a needle?
Maybe the youngsters. Ab, maybe the youngsters. Not us old guys, but we'll all be dead by then.
Not if it's this year. I'm not dying this year.
They're pushing this hard.
Yeah, well, I don't plan on dying this year either.
It's just
I'm going with the alien invasion next.
Alien invasion.
What are they doing?
Hey, Frank.
What are they doing at night when we're all locked in our houses? What are they up to during the night? What are they doing?
They're building 5G and bankrupting the public transport system.
Yep.
How can you bankrupt the public transport system when it's by definition in debt?
Meanwhile, we're scanning everything to pay for it. Cash is on its way out. Using the internet much more to shop.
Isn't that funny? Hey, Tom, isn't that funny? I've got a newspaper in my hand that just says, to go to the cashless society. And there I am. I've got a piece of paper in my hand. It's been touched by, I don't know, how many different people. You know, it's just Bill Gates. I mean, everyone who's listening to everything tonight on what's this? What's this? This will be the Fakeologist Australian Roundtable 6. Whatever. It is awful. And the way Bill Gates, and he talks in that way, you know, he's got that
laugh.
Where he's just laughing at us. Yeah.
Girly laugh.
It's a chuckle. It's a chuckle. Girl. Yeah, he laughs like a woman.
And didn't you say he was a high school dropout like you were?
No, he's a university dropout. I graduated high school. How dare you?
How dare you?
Yeah, he is just the personification of evil, because evil always comes with a soft tone. It's not the Joker devil figure. It's someone who's just come over here and sit on my lap. I'm gonna stick a needle where the sun don't shine.
Yeah, you wouldn't let your kids anywhere near him. Let me tell you this. What Hero said earlier, and he's a sponsor of your site. Hero's got a laminated card. There's a wonderful movie called Joker, and I loved it. And he had a laugh. If you haven't seen that film, all he did was give the card to anyone that had a problem with him, And that's why I love that movie so much. Yeah, I think Joker is one of the best films of 2019. Yeah. And I can't stand the guy. It was good
in a very dark way. It was very disturbing because it ended up in chaos, which is pretty much what we're in now. So it was obviously timed perfectly. They obviously, nothing is accidental. Yeah. They did it deliberately. It was a signal for what's to come. And I was disturbed when I watched it. And I was also mainly disturbed that what if that could happen, because that's what we always do when we watch movies. We think, what if that did happen? Could we relate it to today? And
Good point.
It's very chaotic.
Oh, here
very
we go.
Chaotic.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Ashika from New South Wales, Australia. You're listening to Fakeology Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Go, Ash.
Have you met her yet? Have you met up with her?
No, I haven't. But let me tell you this. Let me tell you this story.
Will you invite her to the
deal? You know when...
It's important that I just... It's a laddish thing I need to share. I had a mutual wank on Zoom with her.
Whoa! What? Did you record it?
See?
Wow.
Yeah, please. Yeah, no, there's Thursdays. You're supposed to do that. No, I'm sorry. Why did I have to say that? I didn't really.
Well, you said it. You can't unsay it.
Fashionable. It's fashionable, Zoom, isn't it? Yeah, everyone's using it now.
I have her bikini shot on my phone when I'm feeling low.
Yeah, I mean,
let me go back. I've been given the wind up, guys. So just before I go, let me just say,
your wife is very consistent with she is very good. My wife is the best. She's a saint. Your wife is a saint. To put up with you, my God.
Exactly.
Offense, man, you are none taken.
You're a nightmare.
Frank, no, you are a nightmare to live with. But you know, you're a good guy. I like you, but man, your poor wife.
I like you too. We're friends, aren't we, Ab? We're friends, right?
Yeah, we're friends, of course.
Exactly. You've done the greatest two interviews.
If I say anything else, you'll jump off out of your treehouse. So I better be careful.
No, I'm not going to. No.
I don't want to read about you in the Sydney Morning Herald.
Or the Newcastle Morning Herald.
Treehouse, yelling fakeologist all the way down to the ground.
All right. Okay, let me just finish this last line, and then I won't say anything more. Yeah, Newcastle Morning Herald, not the Sydney Morning Herald. Newcastle Morning Herald.
I know.
Because I live in Newcastle,
I looked it up. Newcastle is nowhere near Sydney.
Yes, it is. It's 2 hours. 2 hours from Sydney.
That's nowhere near. That's really far.
Well, not here in Australia, because Australia is like we were saying.
You can hop around like a kangaroo 100 kilometers at a time. Bounce around.
I'll hop. All right. Kangaroo I'll hop Express. Up there. But I was just going to say, I love that line when, because you know how me and John Laws have our back and forward back on the fartpodcast.com.
Yeah.
And, Can
I just interrupt you for a sec? How many of you guys watch Sylvester the Cat on Looney Tunes? And when he would always tell his son's name was Son. And when he would fight the kangaroo that he thought was a big mouse, I thought that was the most cruel, unfair cartoon ever. What do you guys think? Because you guys live in Australia, and of course you love kangaroos. Mm. What did you think of that cartoon when Sylvester always thought he could beat the big mouse, which was actually a kangaroo, and he always got a thumping, and it was so humiliating for him to do it in front of Son?
Mm.
Any comments from the peanut gallery here?
Yeah, well, who did that? That was Warner Brothers. Who was the actual cartoonist that actually drew that?
It was a Looney Tunes. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? I haven't got any reaction so far.
We have.
Remember it. It wasn't one of my favorites.
I think Hans Dreyer did all the artwork, by the way.
Didn't you think that that was awful, the way the kangaroo beat the hell out of Sylvester?
Hang on a second. All of the cartoons that you and I watched as children were particularly cruel and brutal.
That's true.
And violent, yeah.
You know, and that's just the way we were
raised. Keep going,
Frank. And also, raised with non-stop television explaining how evil and horrible men are.
Yeah.
And we do have an artist here.
And interesting that the Simpsons parodied the whole thing with that itchy and scratchy.
Yeah.
And that's the latest thing I'm watching now. I've done Seinfeld. Now I'm onto the Simpsons.
And I probably
Goldie, I used to like Ren and Stimpy. Did you like Ren and Stimpy?
Yeah, that was pretty out there stuff.
I think the point they're trying to make is like so you have
I thought out of all of them, I thought the Sylvester, because wasn't Tweety Bird? Wasn't Tweety Bird involved
in Sylvester?
Yeah, I couldn't stand that character. I actually thought that Sylvester the Cat was just like a dodgy, second-rate Tom out of Tom and Jerry. It just wasn't that great. I found the whole thing really substandard. And, I've completely forgotten about the kangaroo thing until you mentioned it, Ab.
Yeah.
Did you like when the kangaroo pounded Sylvester?
I hate the Tweety Bird. I didn't think much of Sylvester as a character. I thought it was a crap cartoon, actually. I really did. Really crap.
Well, you can't like Tweety Bird. Tweety Bird was fantastic.
Oh, please, God. I want to strangle that thing. I hate that bird.
Hey, Goldie. You're an artist.
Do you think that our ruler...
Do
you think they want...
Hold on a sec.
You got to get that bad. Do you think our rulers learn anything from Looney Tunes, some of the greatest cartoons in the history of the world?
Did they learn anything? From making us watch it? Do you mean? Is that what you mean? Like from our reaction?
Just from the cartoons in general. They're so violent, but I'm just curious.
There's so much symbolism in all of them. I mean, I'm going through the old Spider-Man cartoons from the 60s or the 70s. Man, there is so much symbolism in that cartoon. I couldn't believe everything it's always about gas, oil, exchange rate. Every episode there's jewelry, there's money, you name it, mate, it's there. There's all this bloody, there's volcanoes, dinosaurs, all this occult stuff going on. It's really sick, mate. I can't work it out, but I know this, because I remember as a kid when I was watching, I loved it because it was just so weird. But, man, they're putting some real adult stuff into kids' minds at a very young age, and that was Spider-Man. And it was awesome. It was a great cartoon, but, man, I didn't really understand how adult it was, you know, at the time.
Yeah. Hey, Goldie.
And I think Lady Penelope was there to get us masturbating too early.
Yes, it's the only chick in the whole of the rack-wacky races.
Eddie Penelope.
When it comes to Goldie. Sorry, Frank. Sorry, Goldie. You're an artiste, and I appreciate that. The thing I really appreciated was the voice work by Mel Blanc. He was the guy that I really loved. I mean, there are people who like comic books. I like audio. If you can't tell, you know, that's why I like talking to John Laws, or, you know, if I ever would talk to Alan Jones, which I wouldn't.
If you guys don't talk to John Laws again.
Go again. Take two.
Sorry, I was just saying, like, you guys don't seem to be talking to it. He won't accept me.
No, he, no. Yeah. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, hey, I've got you on a higher pedestal ever than John Laws. And Ab, I'm sorry, I've got you a little bit higher than the Goldie.
Okay.
But I do love.
You shouldn't put anyone on pedestals, really, should you? Or not?
No, I shouldn't. I shouldn't. I shouldn't. But I have been. I
used to put chicks on pedestals, you know. Women are like awesome. And, mate, the boy, do you find out that, man, you were just kidding yourself. You know?
Yeah.
Really. Anyway, like, that's the media, though. I was so sucked in by that TV when I was a kid. It's so visual. I just couldn't help myself. And man, boy, did it fuck my head up. And
oh well,
it's brainwashed. You don't know it's happening. Everybody thinks, oh mate, I can watch the Joker film. Fine, I can watch it three times. Because I'll know when I'm getting brainwashed. You don't. You don't know when you're getting brainwashed. That's the whole point of it. It's subliminal. Mm. And sooner or later you'll fuck. That's what I've learned. Yeah, that's why I've got a TV. I don't plug it in.
I understand.
I haven't watched a Hollywood film in quite a while, and I'm a lot better off because of it.
Yeah, of course you are. Of course you are. Hey, look, guys. Thank you, Goldie. Thank you, Ab. Right. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, everyone who's been on the, what are we going to call it? The Fakeologist Australian Roundtable tonight. I have to be quiet, but I will not leave the room, but I have to be quiet because I've been cucked by my wife. But, thank you guys. And, look, before I go out, I'd just like to say, fuck you, Anthony Fauci, you little short man syndrome cunt motherfucker. And fuck you, Bill Gates. I don't know how tall Bill Gates is. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, fuck that little that dweeby cunt. And fuck the politicians, the police, the fucking medical industry, and the fucking what other industry that is making out like bands like this? Fuck them. Fuck the new normal. Fuck the new normal, and a big thumbs up to fucking. The guy, Peter, that you spoke to, I always will suggest go back and listen to Ab interviewing Peter from France. And
Peter is good.
And the other one, what was his name? Brian Stabley. That was Brian Stabley. He's smoking cigars,
he's okay.
All right, guys, I'll be quiet. I'll listen in. But see you guys next week.
Later, man.
Rollo.
See you all.
The Rolls Royce just left the building.
Beautiful. Yeah. Billy Wilder, by the way, that American film producer who produced he went to
Dr. Billy Wilder, that's right.
He's the Rolls Royce of radio.
Rolls Royce of radio.
Why not?
Russell, Australia. Port
he's Roland. Loud, he's obnoxious, he's offensive. His own mother wanted to drown him at first, but hey, he's here and he's now.
On
and
one
he
show,
does talk up a good story.
Drowning in alcohol. Oh, that was a sad story, really.
Always go back to our parents. We can always blame all our problems on our parents. I only recently stopped blaming my parents.
He's a perfect example. You can maintain an extreme habit if you could afford it. If you can get the right drugs, the right stuff, when you need it all the time, you're okay.
No, what his situation is testament to the resilience of the human body. If the human body was not self-healing, then Rolo would have been gone a long time ago. It really does say we are such a magical system, and the idea that we need a vaccine to carry on in this world is absolutely ludicrous.
It's pathetic.
We don't need anything except all nutrition that nature provides. There's nothing artificial in this world that we need to survive, because how the hell else would we have got here to this point today? Well, there you go. That's well my said. Rant.
Ah, good. Well said.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's ridiculous. Absurd, isn't it? I mean, it's an insult to humanity's intelligence. But the thing is, this psyop wasn't, you know, it's coming out now, isn't it? It had to come out early on. Yeah.
And so here we go again. They are just pushing the limits of incredibility, incredulity. They're just pushing every week with something more insane, more bizarre, more impossible to believe. And the latest, of course, I heard was that masks are covering your mouth because when you speak, you are aerosoling your viri to the world. Speaking is toxic. And I did put that up on fakeologist.com, by the way.
Yeah, it's inhuman. It's absurd. It's against, it's restraining the most basic of human rights, like the fucking global warming thing does with CO2 that we breathe out. Almost, it makes you guilty for breathing out. It's ridiculous. If you can do that, then that's control, isn't it? People feeling guilty.
Well, you
about
shouldn't talk is what the latest nonsense was. Yeah, breathing. Well, yeah, the CO2 definitely.
Talking.
That was the old global warming thing. That didn't catch on at all. Nobody thought that.
Well, I think it's got. I think I've had some fair legs. I think it's helped.
I don't think it didn't get the legs that they wanted, and I think, and also with all the fake shootings, it didn't get the guns away. And I feel that they actually brought this forward. They thought, right, enough is enough. We're going to do this bullshit COVID-19 pandemic, and yeah, we can get the guns, we can get the control, and we don't, yeah, the global warming thing, whatever. We'll just keep that going in the background, just like the Nick lies, you know. Just it's just endless. They keep trying and trying, and eventually something's going to stick. And this one, because to me, it's so badly.
You use the file, grease the wheels of change, don't you?
No.
Yeah.
No.
We're always going to see them.
They get away with it. I think they were really getting a bit concerned. Everybody was waking up. Too many people waking up. They had to go in now. You know, I think the more and more people are waking up, and they're going to get in now. There's still the majority are still asleep, and so
the internet
now
is an interesting thing. With the internet and the spread of knowledge, they had to see that, well, there's a certain amount of time where these big lies do get left, and where then eventually, people will cotton on. But you're thinking they're moving on that sort of thing. I think, yes, I agree with that. I like that idea, but I think they would have planned it well ahead. You know, 2020 was always going to be a year that they were going to do something.
Yeah,
new.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I always thought 2020 would, it's just, yeah. I just didn't think it would be something huge. I thought it would be something a bit more, you know, annoying, but not like this total, like, this is changing the normal to the new normal, you know, like,
massive one. None of us said, oh, it's the biggest fucking op since 9/11 coming up 19 years later.
Yeah. I thought it would be a little bit like, you know, like another a recession or another, like they do something stupid. But they've done something really, really dumb.
I think if they'd done something in the year 2000, it would have been almost too obvious. Do you know what I mean? It would have been
They did the what was it, the Y2...
Of course, they did have that for that.
That was their thing. Otherwise, they wanted to do the. I reckon they wanted to do the Twin Towers on 2000.
Y2K was the worst. That was horrible. Completely a dud.
Yeah.
I missed Y2K because I was on standby to deliver computer parts. I slept on the floor. I was sicker than a dog that night.
Oh, wow, yeah. Into the new millennium. Poor Tim was sick on his sick bed.
I made $500 sleeping on the floor of a computer company because they thought one of their servers would go down and they would need another one delivered.
Hey,
so I made money that day, you know, being a good...
There you go.
But still, I remember sleeping on the floor. because I was trying to stay awake, but I was so sick I couldn't stay up.
Well, I remember that. Yeah, you were on audio chat on your headphones, weren't you, from the floor, remember?
Yeah, I would have done an audio chat that night. It would have kept me up, that's for sure. That would have been perfect. Ah, here we go.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Those idiots don't even know where we live.
That's another thing. You just, I don't know if it's. I was just started watching, as I said before, the Simpsons series, and you know how the beginning is. It's quite long, and if you're watching. You've seen it all before.
Does anyone still watch that show? Oh, I know it's on, but do you actually still watch it?
No, that's what I mean. So I went to fast forward it because I started watching the series again. And actually, the first one I checked when I had to fast forward, how long is this thing? I thought it would be only like 40 seconds. No, more. 50. No. It's actually a minute 19.
Oh, you're kidding. 911, 911 backwards, of course.
Yeah.
These guys never stop signaling. You talk about virtue signaling in our culture. These guys are Mason signaling.
I'm telling you.
We know who you think it is, but it's about the Mason.
Yeah. If anyone's out there that's a real Simpsons fan, they'll probably say, oh, no, it's not every episode. And true, it's not every episode, but... it's pretty around a minute 19. It seems to be the time when it actually they stop and it goes to the actual show. So I don't know.
I mean,
there's so much in there.
A lot of programming. That series is that intro.
It's huge, man. Yeah.
It's got the nuclear thing, hasn't it?
He fixed the nuclear plant. Yeah,
it ridicules that as well because it suggests, puts it in your face and says it's kind of harmless, really, because good old Homer the cartoon's got it in his hand. Don't worry.
Yeah, he gets it home in his back pocket or something. It falls in
It's kind of like, this is, perhaps closer to real life than real life.
Yeah. And also the Monty Burns, is that, I think that's his boss at the plant. Someone says, isn't that a caricature of the, is it Mayor Rothschild? Or, I can't remember the guy's name. Jacob. I think it's Jacob. Jacob Rockford?
Yes.
Yeah. It could be.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole thing is an analogy for that, for sure, anyway. Yeah. A big, powerful figure. I mean, it may as well be, you know. It's the elite. It's a classic. It's a classic. It'd be an interesting exercise to rewatch them. If you can enjoy doing that as well, it's a good little study, I should think.
I quite enjoyed, and it was cringy at times, Seinfeld. I actually got through the whole series. The eighth series was, mate, what the hell was going on? Suddenly they just they must have changed the prices or something. It just went really weird. Just a lot of the shows just didn't make much sense. It's just like that. This whole show's about that, really?
It's only by watching these things and these whole series and getting really into them and perhaps being even fooled by them that you're informed properly. That then later on you're able to make judgments properly. You know what I mean?
You've got it.
You have to be suckered in. You know, you have the voluntary suspension of disbelief. Which is obviously what they try to do. Technocrats try to get the public doing voluntary suspending their disbelief with their movie. You know what I mean? They're falsely
movie. Yeah. Well, I sort of took it as like the seventh series. It ended with the death of George's fiance when she licked the invitations. And then the beginning of the eighth series was like, you know, they're at the funeral. And funnily enough, that's when it came out, that's when I pulled the plug on the whole series. I didn't watch the rest of the eighth series or the ninth. So, it was all new to me this time. And now I understand why, because I watched the first episode of the eighth series. I went, man, this is just not the same. Oh, there's something wrong.
doesn't feel right. Have I lost you guys?
Oh, no, you're all right, man. Your audio is...
I heard something just disconnect.
Popping. You're popping. You're cracking.
Much shit.
I'll tell you what, it's so easy.
Come back. Your audio is distorting. I think it's your microphone, but why don't you...
Yeah, look out? I don't know what's going on, man. Like, I've been having it all night, a new headphone, and it's... Is it crackly now?
Is it just... Okay.
Yeah. Was it really distorting?
Yeah, it's crackly.
Ah, shit, I don't... Look, what I'll mute and you guys just keep talking. I'll see if I can...
Turn it on.
All right.
Reboot.
I suppose I better go to bed.
What time is it over there, Frank?
It is just gone 12. After right. midnight, we're going to let it all hang down, Tom.
Yeah, I like it. Song. Who was that? Cool dude. Yeah. Call me the Breeze. That as well. But the Clapton version, I think I like best, if you were thinking of it. Call me the Breeze. Yeah, well, yeah, good night to you. Frank, nice to talk to you. Thanks for the conversation.
Yeah,
yes. Good day in this cartoon we're living in.
This cartoon we're living in. This masquerade. What a great song.
Masquerade. This, yeah, this grand play. It's midnight in Sydney. He's crooning. Ooh. Weird, you're older than me.
Who, by, me?
Well, in theory, aren't you? Because it's tomorrow where you are. So you're so many hours older than me plus whatever.
I'm older than you anyway, a long way, aren't I, Tom?
Right.
I'm about to turn 61.
Yeah, I'm 6 years later than that, in October 67. Yeah.
You're going to be 66. You're older than me.
Oh, that's a misunderstanding. You were born in what year?
59.
Excuse me. There's 8 years difference. I was born in 67, Frank. Yes, we knew that. We knew that anyway, mate, didn't we? Just about. I mean, I didn't know exactly how old you were. You didn't know exactly how old I was, but we had a rough idea.
Yeah.
So I knew you were my senior. So I have to give you respect.
I was born in Liverpool.
You're a scouser and all. Have you talked to Rachel? Yeah, I'm all right with Rachel.
I can say purple, that's all.
Not bad, Chuck. Well, I say mine's worse.
Purple.
Purple. Right, mate. Right. They're going to win the football this year. A little bit of boot. They're one of the key cities in Britain. Liverpool, of course, had the Beatles. And it had the football champions in the 60s, like Manchester does, you know. Football champions in Oasis and so on.
Yeah.
Liverpool.
I've been to a couple of games at Anfield in my time.
Nothing like it. I mean, it really, in British football, domestic football, the roar at Anfield was not surpassed by anything. You've heard of one of the best grounds for football. In certain British football. It's good fun. And that's the thing, crowds like that, are they really going to... The gentrification of football came in the sort of with the psyop of Hillsborough back in 89. It turned into all-seater stadiums where crowds were no longer crammed in next to each other. So they were starting to be separated then. Is this gentrification going one step further? Or are the seats going to go even further apart? And the nature of how people watch these things is going to become more online. They're going to pay to watch it online.
And then it'll just be CGI. It'll be like those machines that they have on.
No one to fucking judge it. No baying crowd. It can't do that. The atmosphere's everything. You have to have crowds, Frank. You have to, don't we? Forward.
I have got no idea. What did it say in 1984?
Fair point. What happened to the crowds at sporting events? Gigs. Yeah.
What happened to Winston? That's what I want to know.
We've had pandemics before, basically. So, I mean, this in British history, you know, for hundreds of years, you know, there'd been like the Black Plague, the Black Death, that before. I think these
things. Do you believe any of those things anymore?
I've kind of lost belief. No. What I'm saying, I don't believe them, Frank. I'm saying these are psyops from history.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying this, that they, yeah, I do believe them. I think they did happen, but they were, I don't believe the official story of them. I think that they're history of PSYOPs. I think what we're looking at is history being written
with
history writers. So we can, in fact, have some faith, actually, yeah, that is going to be true going back, and they've done it for quite a long time. So we've got the evidence there. Look back in the Great Fire of London, it's clearly a PSYOP, clearing out the financial centre there down by the river. 1666, mate, that's nothing. Then, difference, they thought they were fucking trendy and up-to-date then, like we do now. We're fucking just as old hat as the fucking any fucker you ever want to fucking imagine.
Yeah.
You know.
So all of this stuff just makes me more and more biblical, Tom.
But I mean, I like that spiritual side you identify with in a sense. You talk about your own sort of form of prayer and everything. These things are healthy.
I wouldn't necessarily call it, in my case, spiritual. I use it as a model of how things work. It's just that the only, you know, all I see over and over again is what is the motivation going on? What is the, you know, until I can find a better explanation, I'm kind of stuck with this as being the only model. And because it, you know, describes behavior pretty well, that's why I'm in this, you know, at this particular viewpoint. What is your, do you have an alternative explanation as to why these things are occurring?
I mean, I certainly, the big answer, where we came from, how long it's been going on. I don't know, Frank. Yeah, I don't know.
Just the thing we spoke about before, as you said, the length of time that's been carried out over.
Civilization, we can track civilization back. I think we can track PSYOPs back to civilization starting.
More or less, yeah, I do.
I think we can rely on some sort of history there, perhaps. We can say, well, if they're writing history, then perhaps it did happen. Only the way they, not the way they said it, but it did, something did happen. Yeah, it did happen. Mesopotamia coming from the east, and so people started to get these ideas of control and more sophisticated ideas of putting things together.
But even the most people, even the things in our lifetime, Tom, where the Anglosphere, the, you know, England, the UK, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the way that the industries of those countries are shifted to China in our lifetime is breathtaking. You know, that was all done. And now they say, oh, China's a superpower. But who created the superpower? And all of those supposedly Chinese companies, including companies like Xinhua and so on, the news agency, the official, they're all owned by London Square Mile companies. Did you know that the official news agency of China was owned by a London company?
I did not know that. I'll give you Sony means Standard Oil of New York.
Yeah.
Japanese company that came out after the Second World War, is that right?
That sort of stuff.
So that's American, and you're saying these are British companies.
They're British companies. Well, most of the, you know, what people think of as American companies are usually British companies anyway.
You know how powerful that Queenie was, and it's the old empire, isn't it? It certainly is a kind of evidence of a part of the head of the snake of domination. British Empire,
And then the next thing you know, when you explain those things, people say, "Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist." So this is utter madness that people are so blinded to this. You know that, and so that's where I just end up at this. Okay.
People are well schooled.
Well schooled. And
conspiracy theories are lunatics. But you see, what I say is partly because of people like Dallas Goldberg. Is a friend of yours. I think he's just someone you like to wind us up with. Okay.
No. I think, well, I'm suspicious of everybody, Tommy, including you, of course. But the
charming. I'm not suspicious of you anymore. I've known you for so long. I don't give a fuck.
But, you know, the ideas that Ed Chiarina put forward, I think are valid. That's That's the point. I think they're a good model of...
And you like these thought exercises sometimes. Well, I can excuse it as that. And yeah, okay. But, you know, we're not going to argue that now about it.
The point is if we end up with Sunday worship and people not being able to go to the shops on Sunday, well, then that's kind of weird, isn't it? Why would the modern world make laws like that?
Well, I mean, you say Sunday hours sort of dropped. They were dropped only in England, anyway, as far as I know, were relatively recent thing where people were shopping all day on Sundays. That's only just sort of come in this country. Now, are you saying that people in Poland are kind of returning to that? That's being stripped.
It's all being stripped back. Yeah.
But that's a Catholic country, isn't it?
In Catholic countries, yeah, all around the world. Right?
That would be one way of getting people to go out less and shop less. If you return to those Sundays like that, but I can't see it happening in this country. But
there's the marker for me. There's essentially the marker. If you start to see a kind of return to, if you like, a Catholic hegemony of religion, you know, and doing things that are essentially anti-biblical, because the Sunday worship is not the seventh day, so it obviously means something to these people. You know, there's no explanation really for this a sort of creeping return to, you know, that kind of forced going to church behaviour, which is what I think is on the cards. And that's crazy, isn't it? You have to admit, if what I'm saying is correct,
we're all going to be made. The vaccine isn't the thing at all. No. It's that they're going to make us all go to Catholic Church.
Basically, yeah. A one world religion.
Oh, I love it. Well, you might be. Oh, here we go. That sounds interesting. Go on. That makes sense.
That's all. And, you know, it'll basically be a return of a.
I don't think it could literally get us going to Catholic Church, but you might. Almost in a way, we would be, perhaps. You know, they'd get us on Sundays doing something, or they would make Sundays special again and reduce movement, and I don't fucking.
Anyway, like I said, it's very interesting. At some other time, I'll post a link to this video by this Walter Beef guy that I just find it, as he would say, fascinating. This rather odd church type stuff is going on.
Catholic Church, of course, fascinating from Rome, and that I love that Vatican, the way that's designed. It's amazing.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my dream,
I have a plan. All right, well, I'm going to bail out, Tom. Sign up.
All right, mate. Yeah, cheers, mate. Yeah. So thanks for the chat. I've enjoyed it. I need to sort of relax soon as well. Nice to talk. John, he's just jumped out. Fucking rude cunt. Sorry. It's before Watershed in certain parts of the world. And this podcast going out live. Yeah. I'm on my own now and I'm going as well. So thanks, everybody. It's been a joy. And I'm out for being, safe. Ask up. Hello, Tinkers. Nice.
That's all, folks.